with
Always
less
naked.
hands colliding.
Always naked, but never afraid.
Yes.
We're going to get sued by the Discovery Channel.
It's such a...
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting episode of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. First and foremost, as always and forever will be, I am bringing you to you live from the heart of South by Southwest. I am your host, Ben, a.k.a. Iggy. Joining me, the man who needs to turn on the hopper, Mr. Brian Powers.
Dude, you sound like Jar Jar when you got his tongue stuck in that fucking...
We're going to roll with it.
We're going to roll with the punches?
All right, you know what? I'm like that one actor who goes, I don't do two takes. We're going to do that.
You're like Nick Cage.
Yeah. Does he do that? Is that a thing?
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, did you see him in fucking Face Off? It was Face Off.
I've never seen that movie. I'm probably That's the one with John Travolta, right?
Yes, where they both overact their balls off.
But and it is awesomeness.
Dude, okay. It's directed by John Woo, too, so you know it's just the most over-the-top cinematography ever.
Okay, well.
It was awesomeness.
I'm not saying it wasn't awesome. I'm just saying it was also pretty goddamn bad.
And the captain of awesomeness, Mr. Chaser. Chaser, welcome back to the show.
I have a joke for everybody. What goes ka-chunk, ka-chunk, ka-chunk,
Brian's mom?
No.
Ooh. Wow.
No, I was going to say Gamera John's van, but hey, that's not bad either.
Hey, okay, I got a joke for you, and this will apply to Brian. Hey, how did the hipster burn his tongue while drinking his coffee?
He drank it before it was cool.
Fuck you, you ruined my joke. Seriously, if you're a hipster and you're listening to this, you suck. Just stop acting superior, please. I will fight you in the city of Austin, Texas. Why? Because my home city is being invaded by these assholes. But whatever. Let's get to the news. Brian, we got a raccoon who's getting his...
hipster?
Well, South by Southwest is going on, and fucking technology and music and video game. It's basically like mini Comic-Con for Texas for like a whole fucking week and a half.
And you know what? Grumpy Cat was there.
Who was there?
Grumpy Cat.
Of course Grumpy he fucking Cat. Was.
I'm it's, waiting to see Andre 3000, that Jimi Hendrix biopic. I want to see how that pans out. That's got
no, no. Okay, Brian, we got a certain raccoon who's getting his own ongoing story series.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay, boys and girls, how many of you love Rocket Raccoon?
Oh, huh? Oh, me, because furry animals are always awesome.
I know you do. How many of you like Scotty Young?
Oh, Wizard of Oz! His Wizard of Oz series, along with Eric Schauner, is awesome.
Oh, yes. Yes, it is. Now, how would you like to see Scotty Young illustrating Rocket Raccoon?
Oh, that'd be
hell
like,
to the F no.
It'd be like Looney Tunes.
Hell no. Hell no.
Okay, well,
I don't care what West
that's
says.
What you're going to get this July as Scotty Young takes over writing and art duties on an all-new Rocket Raccoon ongoing series focusing on the little furry shoot 'em up. Oh, yes, it's going to be good.
Yeah, because the hate will be coming deep off of that.
Okay, so putting a pin in that for a second, I am super excited for it. Admittedly, as much of a fan as I am of Scotty Young's artwork, you know, mainly his like covers and stuff like that, I've never actually read a book where he's been the ongoing artist or he's had
not read the Oz series he's been doing.
Admittedly, no, I haven't, and it's been on my list for a while now, but I just have never gotten around to it.
One of those things I always wanted to get to, but just haven't.
They're really,
pretty much,
they're really
yeah, that's
good.
Pretty much what it is for me. But that having been said, I've always admired Scotty Young's art, and I've always wanted to see him in an ongoing series. I want to see him how he copes with having to illustrate, you know, time after time, different scenarios featuring similar characters. And so this coming about is intriguing to me. Although I can't really speak for Scotty Young's writing ability, I've never been in a situation where I had to judge his writing. I don't. Does he write the Wizard of Oz stuff?
Or no, is just... that is Eric Schauner. He does. Scotty just does the pencils.
Okay, Scotty, so then
Scotty doesn't know.
What are you doing? Scotty
doesn't know.
Scotty doesn't know.
That was a fun movie.
Yeah. But yeah, so like I said, I can't speak for his writing ability, and of course it's going to be a little bit trial by fire there in judging how he takes on the character and the whole intergalactic stuff. And of course, it also has me questioning where it fits in with the whole Guardians of the Galaxy continuity, you know, in the Marvel Now universe, so... We'll see how that pans out. I hear you, man. But you'll get your turn, don't worry. But for now, you can put me down as being cautiously optimistic about this series. Because I love me some Scotty Young. I love me some Rocket Raccoon. And
You've
never read anything about Rocket Raccoon.
Okay, exactly. Don't bring the fake shit in here with this.
What the fuck are you talking about? I read Guardians back when they kicked it off with the fucking Annihilation Wave. Who the fuck are you talking to?
Lies.
We're going to call you hipster, Brian.
Taser, how many times have you and I bitched about fucking War of Kings or fucking all that bullshit in Marvel Cosmic?
Not too often.
Dude, seriously.
Not too often. How often have
I have the Guardians run in my long box. I will get it for you.
Okay, I want... Picks or it didn't happen.
And guess what's coming your way, pal? Picks.
Nothing.
Walk through my basement and dig out my long box, but I will, because you know what? Nothing would give you more satisfaction than proving you're wrong, Taser. Uh-huh.
He's
Nothing.
Going to run next door Nothing. To his friends and say, dude, I need all your Guardians of the Galaxy.
You know what? I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Then you have not.
But I'm chalking that up to your utter disdain for apparently the existence of this series. So why don't you go ahead and tell me just how excited you are for Rocket Raccoon, Taser? Why don't you go ahead and just tell me?
Rocket Raccoon's, is it a mini or a regular series?
Ongoing, motherfucker.
Okay. Yay. It's a Rocket Raccoon's ongoing done by Scotty Young, who draws, you know, kitty, funny-looking Looney Tunes shit. Yay. Ooh. Yay. I'll say this. I've never read anything done by Scotty Young. I like the alternate covers that he's done, you know, with the, you know, Avengers and X-Men and, you know, various characters all SD-fied and, you know, that stuff is awesome and funny, okay? Never read the Oz series that you guys just talked about. Kind of heard a bit about it, but, you know, I'm not interested in reading that. So, you know, that's whatever. But Rocket Raccoon, them doing this to Rocket Raccoon, it just kind of makes sense because Rocket Raccoon is an anthropomorphic raccoon, and that says funny, and he's a, you know, he's a quick talker. He's got, you know, he's snide and he can be snippish, and he's got a big gun. He's got a gun that's bigger than him. I know. Let's do things that play up the comical aspect visually, but maybe we could keep it just a little bit serious. And that is essentially what that first article said about him. You know, Scotty Young said, well, it's not going to be too bad, but you know what? I looked at, what was it? They had, what was it, one or two panels. I don't think it had any dialogue, but it was one or two panels from, I believe, what that first issue was going to be. And they just showed Rocket Raccoon behaving non-Rocket Raccoonish. Bearing in mind, I've read the original Rocket Raccoon mini. I've seen Rocket Raccoon and stuff long before, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy and other things. So
also those
Guardians
those
of the Galaxy
are,
that was still Rocket Raccoon. The stuff in the current Guardians, and what it looks like, and I could be wrong because I haven't read the issue yet. So this is just me going off two panels. I mean, two pages rather of unfinished art. To be sure, I don't have a whole lot of enthusiasm for it. I'm being honest and serious here, and this is just my opinion. I if I was paying for it, I don't think I'd pay for it. I really don't. I look at this and my colon clenches. You know, it just. Ugh.
You sure that's from this news and not something else?
Well, you know, there was also the news that Wes was coming to New York City, so that kind of no. No, I just, you know, like I said, it's kind of like with the whole Marvel Now. Marvel Now is slowly but surely changing things, you know, from what was into, well, you know, well, remember way back when, didn't they say that they were, you know, going to try and do, like, crossbreeding between, you know, the film projects?
That's what they've been doing since the 60s.
Yeah, but not as heavily now.
Because now their properties are out there in the market and the readiness to get like versus in the 60s, whereas you only had the cartoon show. Now you have versus various ways for kids and people in general to get attached to entertainment.
Okay, so it's just I'm still waiting to see those numbers that say that, yes, the transference in audience is being made. I'm still waiting for that, all right?
But that doesn't mean
what I'm saying is how that affects me is I like having this look like this and this look like that. With Marvel Now, they're going, well, this is what we did here, but since we did that over there, let's make this look like that because – yeah, we'll get a bigger audience. And while I know that a lot of people will just simply continue buying whatever because, you know, they like it and enjoy it and they can just work with it, for myself, I don't – it doesn't work, you know?
But you've been through all of it. Yeah.
Excuse me?
You've been through all of it.
I don't want to say it like that, but –
that's what it is, though. Let's be honest here.
Kind of, yeah. Yeah, kind of. But, you know – And I'm still not convinced that audience is there. It's just another attempt at trying to make something kind of sort of homogenized.
And this will not be the last time it's going to happen.
You're right. It's going to keep happening. But see, how many times do you put up with something you don't like before you get tired of it?
Well, when they hit the actual reboot button, like DC did, which you ultimately jumped ship. Which they haven't
hit again. So, again, you know.
So, but Marvel has yet to hit that button. They've made aesthetic changes in the visuals of the characters, yes, but there hasn't been a big
mess. Star Lord.
What?
And actually, Gamora.
They haven't hit.
And a bit to Rocket Raccoon in the current run. Because you can look at his behavior. Same thing with, well, not really with Groot, but a little bit with Drax and a lot with Gamora. They feminized Gamora. In this current run of Guardians of the Galaxy. That is, I got to be honest, that's one of the huge reasons why I dropped that book. Because they made her femme. You know, she's a she now. Before I looked at Gamora was an it with a blade. You know, something that you did not go up against it or you were prepared for it to kill you. Now, she's a femme. You know, she's a femme with, she's deadly. So it changes how I encounter, you know, this character, and I'm not a fan of it. Star-Lord, they changed him. You know, they tried to – they nicened up the character. They took him from somebody who, you know, kind of did this, kind of did that, and kind of really fucked up over here, did something that was fucked up, and they just kind of –
yeah,
and they won't focus on other things. So it's like, again – it's stuff that I don't like in order to change the way – in order to bring in a bigger audience, they modified it. And I'm not a fan of the Marvel Now, and this is just another sign of it.
If that wasn't clear already.
You do like Thor God of Thunder, though, which is Marvel Now.
I like that storyline, and that storyline doesn't pull punches. And I would put that – with Simonson's run.
And that's Marvel Now.
Nice,
so.
Raw, and Thor. Right. But that's one-ish. That's one character. As opposed to three that I just mentioned in another book. And I could list you others, but I don't want to get into that because that's not the conversation. I'm just saying, Rocket Raccoon, what they're doing here, I look at and I don't see anything that makes me enthusiastic for it.
I think we'll ultimately have to wait for when the actual issue.
I agree with that, so, and I that.
And you're nothing, and you're nothing, you're not, and I'm not saying you're wrong for, you know, having the conventions. I mean, you're attached to these characters. Me, I'm always like, well, we both know how the business is run. They're gonna do this. There's no point in fighting it. You're either gonna, and if you don't like it, that's great. That's fine. You know.
See, in that regard, I can't help but be an optimist. Maybe they won't take and homogenize and change the thing that I've been so long. And even though
I was just using an example. Look at Hawkeye. Hawkeye, the book is nothing like Hawkeye. The movie version is nothing like it.
Yet.
No, I mean.
Although he does do a whole lot of S.H.I.E.L.D. stuff now, doesn't he?
No, I'm talking about Hawkeye in his own book, not Hawkeye in Avengers. In Avengers, yes, you can see it, but Hawkeye in his own book, he's the slum. He's like, eh.
Actually, Hawkeye in Secret Avengers.
No. What I said, in the Avengers books, you can see it. Yes, in his own book, he's, he's the slump. He's the guy.
No, that first issue of the Secret Avengers reboot.
I'm specifically talking about his own ongoing series.
I'm saying that he was a bit like the Hawkeye in his own his own series. That's what I'm saying, you know. That book, aside from also not being too thrilled with the story.
The current one with the bros, is that what you're talking
about?
Yeah. Because I don't see that Hawkeye anywhere else but Hawkeye.
Well,
anytime he shows up,
looking at two different things.
Well, anytime he shows up somewhere else, it's movie Hawkeye, and in his own book, that's the Hawkeye for that story. He is nothing like the movie version, who is bland and non-existent.
Are you dude? Hawkeye in Hawkeye.
I can't help but notice we're not talking about Rocket Raccoon anymore, so I figured I'd jump in.
We can make this another discussion for another time. Suffice to say, like I said, I'm not looking forward to this book, but I will read the first issue and at least give it a fair shot, because that's the honest, you know, and right thing to do.
I don't have any attachment to Rocket Raccoon. I know why they're doing this. You know, they probably have seen some stuff with Rocket Raccoon, and they probably think audiences will at least connect, so they're going to put out a book prior to release, so that way they can pimp it out when the actual series comes out, when the actual movie comes out. So, I like Scott Young. I don't know if I'll pick this up just because I really don't give two shits about Rocket Raccoon at all. I don't. I'm going to be straight up honest. I just don't. I mean, I get it. He's talking raccoon. He's not funny. I don't find that's kind of funny. Initially, when I first saw it years ago, when they were doing the teaser posters for him, but then I was like, oh, okay, he's Rocket Raccoon. It's just what he is now. You know, I'll have to see. There's other, I mean, considering you guys know that I read a lot of, you know, hear a lot of other comics too, this doesn't really say much to me. You know, maybe down the road, sure, but nothing first week buy unless I have, like, nothing coming out. Which is probably not going to happen. So, in that sense, I understand why they're doing it. It's probably going to be decent to good. Rocket Raccoon is A-okay. Sure. I'm sure it'll be fine. Let's go with another universe. Brian.
All right. So, the Ultimate Universe is put into peril again, and it survived miraculously. Again?
Really? Did they sink Manhattan this time?
No, they didn't, but they almost imploded the universe with Galactus, and...
Woohoo!
Yeah, it was a good time had by all.
It's Wolverine's fault?
Actually, no. This time, the fault is with,
Mayhem or whatever.
Wolverine and Sue Storm, and probably a little bit of Hank Pym too, because hey, why not? You know, out of that whole Age of Ultron business. The same thing that brought Angela to the 616 universe brought Galactus to Ultimate World, and they just ended up getting rid of him. So yeah. Anyway, this sort of leaves Earth in a precarious position. They just had another huge cataclysmic event, and of course, needless to say, the the goings-on of the Ultimate Universe prior to that, which is like a new Civil War, Texas defecting, Cap becoming president for a hot minute.
That shit was crazy when I first saw that. Like, whoa.
Yeah. You want to know something even crazier, too? I just picked up the last issue of whatever it was the event was called this time. I think it was Cataclysm. They have so many different words for just the
Don't
end of the world.
Don't spoil that shit because I'm going to read the collection when it comes out in a couple weeks.
Well, I'm going to I'm just going to say one thing that kind of threw me was that I saw the person who was involved with saving the Ultimate Marvel Universe was not who I expected.
Let me guess, it was the Peter Parker clone.
No, no, actually, Peter Parker was nowhere near this.
The clone.
Nope.
Okay.
Yeah, so the Ultimates now end up looking a little bit like Teen Titans.
Woohoo!
Yeah, what we get is Miles Morales as Spider-Man, Ultimate
He's
Spider-Man.
He's the leader.
Yeah, he's black man in charge. Oh, yeah, we need the
holla!
No. my Spider-Man's black and my Lambo is blue. No,
I know Adrian's happy over this because he loves that kid.
Oh, yeah. Peter Parker's clone, who was formerly Spider-Woman, you remember her, Jessica, no, not Jess.
Jessica Drew. It's Jessica
yeah,
Drew.
Yeah, okay. She's called out in the Ultimate Universe? I was
yes,
never certain.
Yes, she is.
J. Drew,
she's
baby.
She's now taking on the moniker of Black Widow.
Yeah, okay.
I like that.
Yeah,
Kitty Pryde is involved as, of course, Kitty Pryde.
Oh, she's still alive?
Yeah. Yeah, she is. Her and Miles got like a BFF thing going on.
Awesome.
So, yeah. And also Cloak and Dagger kind of came out of nowhere. I'm just like, hey.
Well, before I stopped reading Ultimate Spider-Man, before they went into this whole event, because I dropped it once they did that, they were building them up. And they showed the origins of Cloak and Dagger and their relationship. So
they were boinking.
Yeah, they were. So
yeah, openly in this one too. None of that.
Who the fuck is uncomfortable with interracial marriage in this day and age? Fuck those people.
Miles Morales is like Afro-Caribbean or something.
I was talking about specifically Cloak and Dagger. Yeah. Whatever. Well, his mom's dead, so that's mean. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, these kids are the new Ultimates in New York City, which is kind of looking like a war zone a little bit, you know?
Again?
And, yeah, again. Granted, after the whole flood thing, there wasn't much to rebuild. But,
so it looks like the Bronx. And the Warriors?
I don't know what that means, because I'm not from New York, but I'm going to laugh at it anyway.
All I know is that apparently the Bronx is bad. I don't fucking know.
Wait a minute, does that mean that they're going to find the blob in the sewers munching on Wasp's body?
Oh, God, that was
Wasp's
hilarious.
Already dead.
Yeah, I know, from that moment.
Yeah, so what? Still munching on that body.
Oh, she's just leftovers. It's fine.
Yeah, dead Asian chick. Right. He's eating Chinese food.
God damn it. Oh, so is that all?
He's just going to be hungry later.
Is that all the article I said?
No, there's going to be a lot of action in Hell's Kitchen, actually, but with Daredevil having been long gone by now, it's really...
I'm sorry, did you mean Clinton? Don't you mean Clinton?
By the politicians, sir. It'll always be helpful.
I don't fucking live there. I just know it's called Clinton now. That's all I know.
Well, yeah, but
wait,
it's
Hell's Kitchen is now called Clinton?
Apparently.
In what universe?
Yours.
See, Taser's in New York. He doesn't even hear that shit.
I've never heard that.
Apparently, I heard it's called Clinton now. I don't fucking know. could be wrong.
Yeah, right? No shit.
Oh, you could be right, and I simply don't know. That's entirely possible also.
So, yeah, they'll be taking on a gang called the Serpent Skulls, led by Diamondback, who are now monopolizing the city's drug and weapons trade. And
definitely.
Also, there's also going to be sort of a little subplot, I think, going on with a new New York detective named Bridget O'Reilly, who will be hunting a new serial killer named Scourge. So,
of the underworld.
Yeah, right?
What does that name sound familiar, Scourge?
It's probably
a located a bunch of villains back in the 80s, okay. Captain America. Actually, across the Marvel Universe.
Okay, because I knew that name sounded familiar. Okay.
Yeah. Old man history lesson to the rescue.
Lol. I like this. You know, everybody's pretty much gone, right? Except for...
Pretty much.
So... You know, the Ultimate Universe.
Or at least they've been moved to a less visible platform.
Yeah, I'm glad. I kind of like that idea. That
wait. Heroes Reborn? What? Huh? Heroes Reborn?
No.
I haven't read it yet, but
Marvel.
I'm detecting
This is ultimate Marvel still.
Well, I mean,
Ultimate Heroes Report?
Yeah. I actually like the fact that, you know, instead of nothing against the Ultimates, because, you know, the Ultimates volumes 1 and 2 are still some, like, by Mark Millar and Brian Hitch are some of my favorite, one of my favorite stories. It's so fucking awesome. But it was like, for a while, it was just, oh, it's the Avengers in another universe. Granted, they were doing shit differently, but it's still, you saw Cap, Thor, Iron Man, there's Falcon.
No, you know, that's valid because.
And hold on.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And I like this palate cleansing that it's these younger kids and these newer, because they could, but they won't do this shit in mainstream in Marvel now. They could, yes, but they won't.
Heroes were born.
So doing it here, I like that. I'm not gonna pick up the book, but I respect it and I like that they need to
shame.
And. Maybe in trade. It's just, every 2 many monthlies as it is.
Fair enough.
So, but it's like, you know, you need to find a way to freshen up the Ultimate Universe again, especially since Ultimate or Marvel Universe, you know, is becoming more with the movie. Whatever. It's crazy. So I like that it's a completely different thing versus doppelgangers.
Is that why, if I remember correctly, weren't the sales for, like, this current run of the Ultimate stuff kind of on the downward trend?
I don't fucking pay attention to sales numbers. I'm going to...
Yeah.
In answering Taser's question, the sales were at a point where I think they believed they were going to cancel the Ultimate Universe at one point or another. Just out and out.
Yeah,
it was that bad that it prompted such a serial response, but I don't think anything ever came of it, because then they brought in Joshua Hale-Fiakov, who's now at the helm as far as the Ultimate Universe is concerned. He'll be authoring the new Fantastic Four reboot. So.
Okay, so then it remains a toss-up to see whether this next cleansing of the palette will pay off, since they got rid of 1, 2, 3. But, you know, saying they're dead and not shifted into another universe, a la Heroes Reborn, because I haven't finished reading it yet. This is just kind of the vibe I'm getting. All right. I'm not saying, no, fuck it, I'll say it. I think this was a mistake, personally. You know, while I understand the need to shake things up, you don't have to necessarily shake things up by eliminating, what, 3, 4 teams? You know, fucking, what, maybe 20 people? Come on, you know? And if
nobody was reading it beforehand, why not try to catch interest?
Okay, but
brand new?
Could it be that nobody was reading it beforehand because of the last event where they shook things up? Remember,
Ultimatum.
Thank you. You know, which
Magneto floods the world,
which led to Magneto's death, Wolverine's death, and then later on, fucking awesome Scott Summers dead.
Oh, didn't he get shot through the head or something?
No, he had a bullet pushed through his head at super
Quicksilver speed. Super speeded a bullet through his skull.
I thought he was just shot. But all I'm saying is they didn't go far enough and they finally went the furthest route.
Or maybe they went too far.
I don't
and
think
that
so.
Was the problem.
Well, we don't do... Well, we don't...
Well, you can look at the sales and see.
I don't look at sales numbers and maybe...
Well, you have... Sales numbers help. I'm not saying they're the necessarily end-all, be-all, but clearly it is an indicator that whatever was going on did not help. Okay, because look at where they were, which made them go, two more people! And how often has killing off a bunch of people to shake things up, how often has that been successful? In any comic universe. DC didn't even do that. DC just went, well, yeah, we did that, but we have the newer version that you're working with anyway. And the others, 1, 2, 3, we're rebooting the line. You know, they still had them. Here, Cap is gone. I'm guessing Iron Man, Thor. I think Ultimate Punisher would probably be gone too, because the Ultimate Avengers would be gone. Or else they just moved that group over. You had Hulk. There's a bunch of... Thank you. Well, Reed Richards had gone bad a long time.
Yeah,
quite
but
a while.
He's still a staple, though, of the Ultimate.
Okay, so therefore we can count the Fantastic Four gone. I think. And, you know, so but we're still talking at least a good solid 10 characters that are, you know, as far as I know, gone. And these are people, and I don't know about the X-Men. I mean, Bri, did they mention X-Men reboot and all this or what?
The X-Men were put onto reservations by the American government.
So they weren't a part of this at all?
They were. They were.
Well, Kitty Pryde and Iceman were leading their own little resistance group with Johnny Storm tagging along as a quote-unquote mutant, but that...
What, Storm was over there in the camp, I found.
Oh, she came around too, but only for the giant world-ending catastrophe. So.
Ah, okay, fair enough. Okay, so then, we're still talking about, you know, at least a solid 10 characters that people who read the Ultimate Universe probably won't have access to for the immediate future, you know? And then they're going to just take and pull in some other characters and make them the team to pay attention to. I'm not saying it can't be done. I'm not saying it's going to fail. I'm just saying that's a huge fucking gamble on an if. You know? And we're talking readership is already was already bad enough that they were gonna cancel the line. I don't know that.
Do we ever know that they were did they actually say they were gonna cancel the line?
I don't think anything was confirmed or denied, but
unless
there was
they actually
heavy
confirm
speculation.
It, I'm not willing to bet my hedges on that.
They said early on before a talk of, you know, the new Ultimate Center, they said the line was shutting down.
Yeah, I remember it pretty clearly because I remember that at one point this cataclysm was going to be the line-ending event.
I honestly think that's just people thinking because Galactus was going to eat the Ultimate.
No, this is before I even knew that Galactus was there. I just heard that the Ultimate line, the Ultimate Universe, was done. You know, but I'll grant you this: this was impression. A lot of it was impression from what they were talking about, what they were doing with the Ultimate line. Before I read anything, any specifics about, you know, Galactus being there and this, that, and the other thing, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But all I'm saying is this. This is a hell of a gamble to try to revitalize the line. Mm-hmm. And I hope it works because while I wasn't too thrilled with the Ultimate line to begin with, I do like a lot of the things that they have come to do that they did differently. And then, unfortunately, they kind of, with like, what was it, Ultimates 3, they just kind of went, well, let's make everything kind of uniform with the, you know, 616.
That was Jeff Loeb's doing.
Yeah, I know, but I'm still.
Which is why I like this, because it's completely different from the Marvel Universe. It's,
yeah.
That's why I like it so much.
But I also liked Ultimate Cap, just like I also liked somewhat Ultimate Scott Summers and Ultimate Wolverine, you know? So now that at least two of those guys are gone, you know, and Ultimate Thor. I loved Ultimate Thor in Ultimates 1 and 2. And then in Ultimate 3, they made him the chest beater again, you know, which just kind of fucked me up because I like the pacifist guy.
Yeah, he was,
you know,
yeah,
he was stiff.
Yeah, I like, I agree.
Okay, I agree. So I hope it works, okay? I do hope it works, but I hope it's not as permanent a thing as it seems to be.
Well, who knows? This is comics. They could easily have Cap or somebody else back. Who knows? We'll see.
Or they could have Galactus come back and he snaps his fingers. There you go.
Who knows?
Well, hey, when you have a giant Kitty Pryde fight you off, shit goes down.
That is funny. Okay. Any more
to the rescue.
Any more thoughts on this topic, boys?
If I may interject just briefly.
No. Moving on.
I make it a tradition to buy every relaunch of the universe when it rolls around, because it's like a tradition at this point. So I will be picking up the first issue. That having
well,
been said,
congratulations. You have moved from Bitch Newsboy to Ultimate Correspondent Bitch Boy. You will be...
You know what? I find your lack of faith disturbing.
No, I just... Look, here's the thing. Here's the thing. I read a lot of comics. I read a lot of independent comics that catch more of my fucking eye than the Ultimate Universe at this point.
Do you read Archie comics?
I read Afterlife with Archie.
Okay, you just started.
I never fucking cared about Archie. This isn't Archie.
Uh-huh.
I never cared. I didn't know Archie was a thing till I was like in like high school.
Uh-huh.
I didn't grow up around it.
Right.
And so, this universe relaunching again, I was on board for the last relaunch. I was on board for the relaunch before that. I never really... I'm trying to think. I got through up to Ultimates 3 when Mark Miller was running the universe. Yeah, the Steve Dillon artwork on that book just killed it for me. I've never been a fan of it.
You have no artistic integrity whatsoever.
The relaunch after that, I stuck around through until Reed Richards became uninteresting, because that happened pretty damn quick. But he was quickly changed to be one of my favorite villains of that run.
I will agree with that.
He was a decent villain, and if they played it right, they could have dragged him out into be a much more intimidating, long-running villain. But after that whole thing with the Forever People and the Fall of Asgard and stuff, I jumped off after that. So, yeah, I'm back on board for this. I will be reading all new Ultimates as well as the new Fantastic Four, because apparently Iron Man likes sucky armor with poor coloring schemes. So, yeah, that's where I find myself.
All right. All new Ultimates, number one, coming from Mr. Brian Powers later this year. All right.
I will be your line to the Ultimate Universe for however long it takes for me to drop it.
Which will be one issue. All right. Let's go to the final bit of news with talking about The Amazing Spider-Man 2 and overloading villains. Brian, take it away.
Okay, so for those of you who've seen the new Amazing Spider-Man 2 trailer, you may have noticed there's more than one or two villains therein. Jamie Foxx is Electro, Paul Giamatti is Rhino, Dane DeHaan as Harry, and Chris Cooper as Norman. And of course, you saw little sides of Dr. Octopus and the Vulture and things like that, plus the mysterious fedora-wearing man.
So where's that all leave motherfuckers?
Where does that leave us? Well, it leaves Mr. Mark Webb dealing with some rather familiar complaints after a similar Spider-Man sequel occurred not too long ago. If it's all right with you folks, I'm just going to go ahead and read the quote that he gave, if that's all right. "We're obviously familiar with the complaints people had. We're very careful to make sure the stories intertwine. For Peter Parker, it's very important that you create obstacles that are difficult to overcome. I'm going to embrace a spectacle. I'm not going to be beholden to smallness. I want it to be fantastic, to be big, to command and express that feeling when you're a kid and reading the comics," end quote. I can't help but notice there's a lack of defending the writing in that quote. There's no defense of, it's going to be well written.
Well, how I saw it, as I told y'all this off screen, is I saw it how is that he doesn't want to be shackled, and that he wants to show how amazing Spider-Man is. God, that was as horrible as it sounded in my head as it is.
Yeah, it really was.
All right, puns for the win. And I like the fact that he's going big and bombastic. Yeah, I fucking like that. This is Spider-Man, you know. So go for it. And it seems to me, well, from what I got in the quote, and it's hard to tell because of how he was talking, because it's text, it's not video, so we don't know. But I'd like to think he had a nice composure, and he is actually embracing the idea of having multiple villains, and he knows what the fuck he's doing. He's got this. That's all I have to say.
I wish I could find it within myself to care more, but speaking from a pure point of view of sentimentality, Tobey Maguire is my Spider-Man. Now, that being said, I didn't mind the first Amazing Spider-Man. I thought he did a much better Spider-Man than Tobey Maguire did. Make no mistake, Tobey Maguire was a better Peter Parker, but Andrew Garfield made a better Spider-Man. Now,
okay, I can actually agree with that.
It's a weird point of view. It's like arguing who's the better Batman, who's the better Bruce Wayne.
But let's not get into that.
That's here nor there.
Yes.
Anyway, that having been said, I mean, I guess I have some amount of faith that maybe they'll learn from their mistake and get it right. But of course, that's not always been the case. So I find myself in a position where I'm just kind of like, I'm actually kind of comforted by the fact that I don't care about this Spider-Man as much as I cared about the last Spider-Man. Not to say that Spider-Man 3 wasn't wholly disappointing, but this movie is taking from a franchise that saw the same mistake happen, and I'm not going to say it completely killed it, but it played a major role. Like, it was holding the smoking gun. Anyway, I will be watching this carefully to see how they take the issue further, because a lot of emphasis has not been put on the collection of these villains. It's been all on Peter Parker and I guess his parents' fate.
Well, that's still the mystery from the first movie.
They're dragging that one out. And I don't think he ever found Uncle Ben's killer either.
No, that's also still a plot line, too.
Mm. So, yeah, I mean, I guess if they're not going to put that... I mean, they haven't really put the villains in the spotlight that much, save for Electro in that last trailer.
We've only seen Electro and Rhino and the new Goblin, whoever that is. We only saw the costume or the armaments for Dr. Octopus. And
that's true,
too. We haven't heard any rumors of actors. We haven't heard any rumors. We haven't seen any photos or anything. So, for all we know, those could just be aesthetics only.
That's true, too. Yeah, it could be set up for future films or what have you. Either way...
Because there are multiple doors.
Yeah, I know. Now, I'm just a little concerned about this repeating the same as...
Look, that's you're
a
not
very
gonna
real
get
fear.
Emo dancing Peter Parker on piano, okay? If you're worried about that, you're not going to get it. I can promise you that.
That's not entirely what I'm concerned about.
Was it pelvic thrusting Peter Parker? I'm doing that right now, by the way.
Okay, look. When they went about making Spider-Man 3, as far as I can tell from various reports and articles and stuff, there were a lot of conflicting viewpoints on how the movie should be played out.
Yes, we all know what happened.
Sam Raimi wanted Sandman. The fans wanted Venom.
The dumbass
studio wanted a new Goblin. It was conflicting. But this one appears to have at least a unified vision, as far as I can tell. There's been no talk of distress or of arguments or what have you. It appears to be at least a cohesive whole narrative.
Or if there is, it's keeping it in house better.
Yeah, that too. That's a very real option. That having been said, though, I feel like they might learn from their mistakes this time around, and I think they can get it right this time. So I have faith, but by the same token, I don't care enough if they get it wrong. So, yeah, that's where I found myself.
You do care. Taser, take it away.
Yay, more villains to beat up.
Woo!
Yes.
You'd be like Maximum Carnage, the movie, the game.
I didn't have any problem with Spider-Man 3 and, you know, it being cluttered or whatever the hell that was. Story-wise, that's another thing entirely, but having too many villains, that's a stupid argument, you know? And here, I still don't have a problem, although this doesn't look like it's going to be that, because I don't know, but I kind of get the feeling that we don't get a whole lot from Ultimate Rhino. I think Ultimate Rhino kind of shows up as maybe a proof of concept thing to, maybe try to take on Spider-Man, see what he can do, see what's going on. And then he gets beat, and then that's kind of one and done. Now, when Harry Osborn again comes back out with the skater goblin thing, and, you know, Jamie Foxx says, hey, look, I'm a F with your minds and all the lights in the city. Kaboom! Which is so what I'm looking forward to. That doesn't bother me at all. You know, as a matter of fact, I'm hoping the writers have found a way to kind of integrate these two characters and, you know, they end up coming together and going, well, this is a common target. Let's team up to take his ass down. You know, not too sure. I haven't seen it yet, but that's what I'm hoping. I didn't have a problem with Spider-Man 3. You know, I don't see where the argument for it being too confusing is, or whatever the argument for that movie nowadays happens to be. It's kind of retarded, in my opinion. So,
Wait, hold on. Can I do this? Wait, no, really, Brian, you're not going to join me in this? Fuck you.
Oh, sorry, I was responding to something. No, go ahead, start, do it over.
I applaud Taser for that. People who bitch about Spider-Man, they are stupid and retarded.
Well, Yeah, well, like I said, man, you're the Spider-Man fanboy here.
I just more laugh at that shit versus like, oh, this is stupid. I just take it as that was fucking hilarious.
No, but you know, but it's kind of dumb because it's like you can only have like one villain, but like five heroes. I mean, that's retarded.
It's how fucking fandom works.
Yeah, but if that's the case, then why don't they have the same argument with, like, X-Men 2?
Because that's how fandom works.
Or X-Men 1. You're right. And, you know, fandom has its own logic depending on any particular moment in time.
I honestly think it has a lot to do with the fact that people did not like the more Sam Raimi touches that he brought with Spider-Man 3.
Like Bruce Campbell?
More of the over the topness that Peter Parker did. People didn't like it, so they hop on the extra villains as an excuse for a horrible movie. It's not that terrible, people.
It wasn't a bad movie. It wasn't the greatest of the Spider-Man movies by a long shot. And there were things that I would have changed too.
I'd rather watch Spider-Man 3 than X3, that's for sure. Fuck that movie.
Wow.
I disagree with that, actually. I'd rather see X3 than Spider-Man 3. But, you know, each to his own. Mm-hmm. I would have probably... I don't know. I would have made it a little more... Maybe a little more universally inclusive. You know? I don't know. I would have done a few things. I would not have made... Okay, here we go. I would not have made... what's his name? Sandman, the guy who accidentally killed Uncle Ben. Because that, as far as I'm concerned, just kind of eliminates, you know, the driving force behind why Peter Parker does what he does, and on top of which makes Peter Parker possibly the murderer of an innocent man. You know, because the guy that he chased all the way to the abandoned warehouse, whatever, it turns out that guy wasn't responsible for what happened to Uncle Ben.
Yeah.
You know,
but nudged his arm.
Yeah, and he fell like what? Three stories?
Yeah, probably.
And they never say what happened to that criminal. Not in the comics. And not in the movies. You never find out.
I assume, in the movies at least, I assume he was dead. He was dead.
Yeah. So that means that Spider-Man's first act as a superhero is to kill a guy.
All right.
Well,
I'm throwing out the yellow flag.
That's in the movie. In the comic book, he punched his ass out.
Oh, okay.
It's either punch or a kick, but he sends him flying through that window. And again, going back to what I've said before about Marvel movies and their heroes, rather the heroes in the movies, they can't have the heroes do negative things, which is why, remember in the comic book, Spider-Man becomes ego and overinflated and tells the guy that ran that wrestling thing, why should I bother doing that? Because I'm more important than everything else and blah, 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 blah. In the movie... The guy stiffs him. So when he sees somebody running from the ticket office, he just steps to the side because, you fucked me, I'm going to fuck you back. You see what I'm saying? So they like the white hat, you know, and he has to be nothing but that. Here, with Spider-Man 3, they totally take that away and nobody catches on to that. Nobody pays attention.
Well, it's like, this is where we're going to table the discussion because I'm pulling the moderator card here. It's like how people bitch about Superman killing Zod, but nobody bitched about when Batman let Ra's al Ghul die.
But see, we don't know that Superman killed Zod.
What do you mean? He broke
his... We just saw him, Zod, and say, and
he snapped
his woman.
No, I'm talking about Man of Steel. Where he snapped.
Okay.
So I'm talking about... This is, again, this is right topic.
Taser, did you see Man of Steel?
Yeah, no, I honestly
he
thought
he was yeah, I can, well, there's two, yeah, I can see that. So, like, it's like, it, and it's the same argument where, you know, people will bitch about you know, Superman stabbing. That's not what Superman does. Because then people will praise where Batman says, "I don't have to save you, but I don't have to. I don't have to. What is it?
I don't have to kill you, but I don't have to save you either."
Which is Batman saves everybody no matter what. He fucking saved the Joker.
Is he gonna save the guy who fucking tried to kill him though? Like, really?
He saved the guy who committed, who scarred his best friend.
In Killing Joke, he strangled Joker.
No, he didn't. We don't know. We don't know.
Yeah, he did.
He didn't. It was because Joker and him were still laughing.
No, the last panel, the laughing stops.
Yeah, but it's not like I said. Like,
no, I know. That's what I'm saying. It's ambiguous. Anyways, the point is, Batman, at least modern Batman, is that I save everybody no matter what, guy, and that. So if he's, it just, it's like, if he's supposed to be this hero, you know, heroes in general, they save people. So I just think, and this all goes back to the Spider-Man 3 that people bitch about Spider-Man 3 and Amazing Spider-Man 2 and Love Amazing Spider-Man 2, is that people are fucking cynical and fickle and they don't remember what shit is being said. Let's move on, please. Seriously, if you're one of those people who thinks that Batman killing Ra's al Ghul is okay, but Superman killing Zod and feeling remorse afterwards is not okay, you're a fucktard. Let's move on to Magneto number 1. All right. The master of magic.
Wait. Superman killing Zod and not feeling remorse?
No, feeling remorse. But Batman killing Ra's al Ghul and basically like,
why? They're entirely different moral principles.
He could have saved him. Batman could have saved him. Batman killed
him. What, Ra's al Ghul?
Yes, he could have saved him.
Let him come back to try to take Gotham again?
He saved
him. Didn't Ra's al Ghul get hit with that freaking microwave beam?
No, the train crashed into the thing.
Okay, so wait a second. Okay. What exactly is your argument here, Ben?
My argument is for fans who bitch about Superman snapping Zod's neck and saying that's not what Superman does, but nobody ever bitches about Batman letting Ra's al Ghul die when he could have saved him easily by grabbing onto him and proving that that's why he's a hero.
Well, maybe they're just waiting for the Lazarus pit to
fuck
show
you
up.
No, that's the lame. That's lazy writing. Moving on to an actual anti-villain, a former villain, now current anti-hero, with Magneto, number 1, written by Cullen Bunn, art by Gabriel Hernandez. I'm gonna be very.
I'll
mad.
Get to it. Let's just. You start off, Ben. You
Gabriel
go.
Hernandez.
I like his name, Cullen Bunn. Makes me think of food.
Art done by Gabriel Hernandez Walter. Colors by Jordy.
Makes
Blair.
Me think of Cullen, some other kind of bun.
God damn it! Shut up, both of you. Okay. First off, I wanted to ask you guys a question. Did you guys get a John Romita Jr. art feeling from the artist?
A little bit.
Okay, because I was like, as soon as I read the issue, I was like, wait a minute. Because it's not exactly him. It's not style for style.
Yeah, but it has its moments. A lot of solid lines.
A lot. It's not.
A lot of black.
A lot of blocky.
No, it's not that blocky. It's blocky, but not nearly as blocky as Romita's is. But I could not help but think, this guy is doing Romita. And that made me like the issue that much more. So basically what this issue does, it sets you up for Magneto where he's been a little bit, not too much, but just enough, where he was, and where he's going, what he wants to do, and where he's going forward. The only thing, I thought the ending scene of him, like, going into the police station, and you have the micro zoom-ins, the blue highlighted of all the metal that he's going to use in the room, I thought that was really cool. Even down to like the girders and the metal sat thing that hooks the lady's purse together, I like that. I liked all of that, and of course the cinematic moment of him forming the helmet out of the metal around him. I thought that was like, that's like one of those movie moments that's like, oh, that's nice. And I like that people instantly recognize that mask or not mask that helmet. You know, it's like sort of like if a Jewish person sees the Nazi helmet, they know what that means. They know what that symbolizes. You know, everybody knows what that Magneto helmet stands for. So I like that aspect of it.
Old people.
I like that. You know, he's not a villain here. He's not an anti-hero either, because he's gonna kill you no matter what, no matter whose side you're on. If you get in his way, he's gonna go through you. But it has me curious. But so I like that direction of it. That he's like a one-man wrecking crew looking for answers and looking to avenge mutants. But he's not nearly as powerful as he used to be. And also I do want to know who exactly sent after that Sentinel. At first I thought it might be S.H.I.E.L.D., but when he mentioned how shoddy it was, you know, through the metalworks, I'm like, well, if S.H.I.E.L.D.'s going to send a fucking Sentinel after somebody, it's going to be one of the top efficient grades, you know, especially if you're going after the master fucking magnetism. But, I really like this first issue. I didn't want to because I have too many books to read as it is. So, I really liked it. And I kind of felt bad for the kid that Magneto, when he realized that he was just a pawn in all this, and you could see a little bit of remorse at Magneto's face at that last panel. It was really good. I didn't expect to like this at all. You know, I thought this was going to be okay. But I give it a 4 out of 5. I really dug Magneto number 1. I can see me reading this book for a good while. Brian, I'm going to have to fire you, aren't I?
You're not going to have to fire me, Ben. I mean, I guess it's up to your discretion, but let me just say this. The things I liked about the book. The art was very good, likable in most places. There was an instance or two where I thought maybe it was a bit too cartoony, a bit too block-ish, but otherwise, the art was good. The writing, I thought, was very intriguing. I thought it was an interesting look at the psyche of Magneto after all is said and done stuff. Now, cards on the table, I kind of lapsed on Uncanny for a minute, and then when I came back, Magneto was suddenly gone. So I don't actually know offhand what sent him from the group.
Can I tell you real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
He secretly went to Madripoor and caused an incident, and he basically took – that was the point where he left the book.
Okay, yeah, because it's run by, like, Mystique now or something?
Yeah,
he went
to go see what was going on. He was appalled, basically, with what little magnetic power – like, how weakened his power state is. He brought down one of the buildings and basically is now a fugitive from everybody.
Oh, wasn't he already a fugitive
from
S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Now he's a fugitive from evil people too. Now they want.
So he's a double secret fugitive. Is what we're
Wait
saying.
A minute! In what book did he do that?
Uncanny X-Men.
Yeah, see, I missed it too.
I gotta read that. Then.
That was one of the first issues, second issues I read. So yeah, that's.
So yeah, Magneto's on double secret probation, and so he decides to. So he decides to go hunt down mutant haters, I guess, is what. I will say that the opening scene with the caveats where the guy just has the huge metal bars sticking out of his mouth was a powerful image. I like the whole thing where it's like, he did it like he was just breathing, man. He didn't even care. He just gave him Felix back, man. And you just see him just stand there in the street.
Did you read that in the Lebowski voice like I did?
Yeah, a little bit. But see, now the thing is, after that point, it was all sort of downhill for me in terms of the story. I honestly thought the whole thing where it's like he goes to track down this guy, and then he like, you know, he decides to go on a quest now to find this guy who set this kid up. It's just okay. I'm not saying I disliked it, but I wasn't all that excited for the book when it was initially solicited, and this issue did nothing to really pump me up for it. Now, what I mean by that is Magneto responding to acts of mutant hate and violence. His response is, you know, uber violence. That is not a revelation for the character. That's not a turning point. That is just Magneto being Magneto. So when he does these things and when he commits these acts and they write it and they illustrate it and it's supposed to be compelling, it doesn't compel me. It just has me kind of being like, why don't you just go back to Weapon X and freak out the young X-Men? You know, make them question why Cyclops is leading the team with Magneto now. And it's just, I felt like what he was doing before was more interesting than what he's doing now. So that kind of hurt me a little bit in reading this issue. I mean, like I said, I didn't hate the issue. I thought it was a solid opening, real good writing, decent art, but the story as a whole doesn't have me hooked, I guess I'll say. It doesn't have me hooked like I hoped it would, you know. It sort of has me reminiscing on when they did that Magneto Not a Hero miniseries, like the 4-issue mini a while back with Joseph. You know, I was kind of hoping they maybe would have revisited that. I know it's a long shot, but I was kind of hoping they would have gone back to that or involved him in some way or taken Magneto to a darker place, sort of had him, you know. But as it stands, I don't know. It didn't hook me. I guess I'll just leave it at that. It really didn't. It didn't like surprise me at how good it was. You know. That being said, like I said, you know, it was a good read, not a great read. So, I'll give it 4 out of 5, or no, 3 out of 5.
Pack your bags. You're fired. Taser. Take it away.
But I haven't even got to review Moon Knight yet.
Nobody gives a shit about Moon Knight.
No, I do share with Fearless that I wasn't, you know, geared up and excited for this book. I would disagree about the end product. It wasn't 3 out of 5 worthy, but I'd give it a little bit more. But that being said, I don't know if I'll stay with it in the long run either, because watching low-power Magneto go about committing, you know, old-school justice, and I don't know if I want to read that.
I think there's a bigger mystery at play, though.
Well, they would have to do that, which is like, fine.
Because somebody sent that Sentinel after him, so...
Well, they probably figured that he would show up considering what he did to that doctor, which, yes, that was all kinds of funny. But also, hold on, before I continue further, you said that he did the thing with Mystique in the building in Uncanny X-Men.
Yes.
We're talking Storm's book?
No, that's the Cyclops-led team book.
You mean the all-new X-Men?
No. That's Kitty Pryde.
Uncanny X-Men. X-Men. Emma Frost, Ileana, Cyclops.
Yeah, that book.
Isn't that all-new X-Men?
No, all-new X-Men
is
just...
No, that's Uncanny X-Men.
All-new X-Men is just with the kids you don't like.
Okay, so then what's the book with Storm?
That's...
Wolverine of the X-Men.
No, that's just X-Men.
Hmm? No, the one with her... And Betsy and Puck.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's just X-Men.
That's just X-Men.
Adjective,
no,
that's X-Men.
The one with the women is X-Men.
Astonishing X-Men?
Just X-Men.
Yeah. Are you thinking Astonishing X-Men?
No, Astonishing X-Men is the one with Kurt.
No.
That's amazing. There's too many X-Men!
God damn it! Just fuck it. Just move on. We'll look it up later. God damn it!
I don't even know. X-Force! That's what you're thinking. X-Force.
There's too many mutant books.
There's too many X-Books. Oh my god.
That was like a Looney Tunes bit.
Who's on first? What's on next? Oh my god!
You can call me Jed. You can call me Henry. You can call me Nathan. Oh my
god! Okay, continue. Okay,
X-Force. You're thinking of X-Force, Taser.
You mean the book with, you know, Gambit and
the one
immediately
after
X-Factor. That's X-Factor.
Okay, no! that was actually legitimate. I did really get that mixed up, and I'm almost positive. Anyway, okay, never mind. Dropped. This book wasn't a bad read, but I don't know. I guess I hadn't noticed that I did miss Magneto in the big mutant books. You know, the ones where he had shown up previously with all white costume. To that end, I did like the outfit that he put together here. That was actually kind of, ooh, black outfit Magneto, tasty. But the fact that, yeah, apparently he's still suffering from him not being able to, you know, do the big power displays anymore, and that one line where he's I don't really do a lot of flying anymore. And the last time I flew, I overshot by 300 miles, and it left me exhausted for a week.
This is being an old man.
Holy crap, he's an old man again. Like, Jesus. And still, as far as I know, has there been any explanation as to why he shaves his head?
Disguise? Because nobody recognizes him.
He could wear a hat.
Well, he did wear a hat when he left the team in that issue.
There's been no explanation.
He just shaved.
He just had no hair when he showed up with the white outfit when he was there talking to Shield. He had no hair then.
Maybe he got tired of it. I don't fucking know.
I'm just saying, you don't change your look like that without there being something like he's a cancer patient or some shit.
Maybe he is. But we just don't know.
Ooh, a mutant with cancer. I don't know. It was interesting the way he was going about it because he was being low-key. And that, for Magneto, is a bit different. I mean, he's not new to using subterfuge and trying to be quiet, but this is, we're talking, you know, really low-tech, you know, driving places and buying newspapers and, you know, using laptops and making one of those connect-the-dot boards, which I had to laugh at. I was like, oh, I know what they're trying to go for here. This was more interesting than indicative of any real enthusiasm, you know, for me to come back, you know, for a while. It still has my attention a bit, but it's not that strong. I guess I'm just kind of waiting for it to do something other than what it did, because while the bit with the pseudo Omega Sentinel in the jail cell wasn't bad, I don't know. I wasn't overly impressed with it. I also thought it was actually kind of stupid for him to do it like that. You know, I don't know exactly where you can gauge his strength, right? You know, at the current point in time.
Well, he said he can't reshape metal, but he can still manipulate it. He can't like toy with it like he used to, or the power display, but he can still fucking use it.
But didn't he form it into a helmet?
No, that's putting pieces. Yes, that's putting pieces around. That's not like.
No, but he's putting it together.
And
shaping it.
That's not like controlling. Like what he used to do, intricate molecules of metal, that's different. It's a different.
Yeah, see, that's another thing. Actually, Chase just reminded me, the inconsistency of the use of his powers, not just here, but a little bit beforehand. They never really nailed down exactly what changes about his powers or how he can use them or how he gets tired and stuff like that. It's really left all up in the air. There's really not a lot of clarification.
They didn't bother. They just said, well, I'm not exactly as powerful as I used to be.
It's something to do with the Phoenix Force. It's something to do with that.
Yeah, and yeah, they haven't gone into that at all, have they? No.
I wasn't reading the book, so I didn't know.
No, but they show him, like, at the beginning of this Uncanny run, they showed him all mad at Scott because they changed his powers, but they never go into detail of what changed or what the new parameters
maybe they'll
are.
They'll go into detail.
And there's no reason for it anyway because he was never a member of Phoenix Force 5, so...
No, but he get, like, mind blasted
Phoenix
by
Force
one of
5!
Them?
No, he didn't.
Sorry.
Could have sworn he got, like, controlled by one of them.
Phoenix Force 5.
Somebody look that up. I will give you a cookie if you look at it.
What do you need me to do?
Well, not you specifically, but somebody look up. I'm pretty sure he was mind blasted by one of them. I'm pretty
well,
sure.
Yes, no. And that would be the reason why.
He was never possessed by one, but they theorized because he stuck around Scott's Utopia and was in close proximity to him and the X-Men.
He was affected by cosmic radiation?
See, that's a lot of the reason, because back when they first started this Uncanny run, Magneto was very upset because he wasn't even possessed by the Phoenix Force, and yet his powers were fundamentally altered. That was supposedly his motivation for going to S.H.I.E.L.D. at the beginning of that arc, but they never really touched upon it.
Asshole. I'm just kidding.
It's called bullshit.
They kind of just let it hang there and then never really bother with it again.
bullshit.
Well, all comics are bullshit.
Not saying
when you can have a fucking dude turn into a giant green monster for a generation, it's all bullshit, so it's whatever.
Oh, right. But again, looking at the page here where after he's thrown everything all over the place, and then he forms the helmet, and he's making that, you know, slur of metal that he starts riding on. okay, he may not be able to draw like individual iron atoms out of a person's blood anymore, but he made that helmet out of individual bits of metal from elsewhere, and he made it into one solid piece. So if he could still do this, then there's no reason for him to have gone in the front door and made this big display of mutant vengeance. And,
well, that is Magneto still at the heart of him. He's still, maybe that's the something.
Yeah, but that was,
I
this
am
would be Magneto.
Magneto, no, the master of
I disagree
magnetism.
With this. This would be Magneto from 20 years ago, my time. Okay? We're
that
talking.
Is, that doesn't mean that
post Fenris Magneto, post going before the world court Magneto.
Nobody knows what you're talking about anymore.
Yes, it's still the same fucking guy.
Yeah, but nobody knows.
This isn't even the Magneto who was around during AVX.
Oh, this is
and this
funny.
Is the guy from AVX.
Yeah.
That guy would not do this. He wouldn't, and you know it.
Maybe how I saw it is that he knew eventually that they had, because when he's looking at that, you know, that picture, those pictures and those maps, that they were going to draw him out anyways, and that
he just decided to go, fuck it, I'm going to just do
whatever.
Well,
initially, remember, in the scene prior, he didn't expect for him to be transferred. He thought the kid was going to be there longer. So then he said, he had to improvise. He needed to move fast.
Kent, that says nothing about him going in the front door. Nothing at all.
Like he's like somebody's not going to stop him when he
maybe
goes in
he
the
likes
door?
Them to see him coming. Not unlike Moon Knight, who I'm also going to review later in this episode.
All I'm saying is that's the way I read it. And that because if he were to go through the back door, you're telling me a police officer wouldn't, and you would have to get physical anyways? It'd be the same situation, except in
let's
the back.
Get physical.
The damn wall.
Physical.
No, better yet, he could have just pulled the bars through the wall.
Do we
you know?
He
this was him
did
just
he know?
Fuck a people.
Well, why not? Show your power. I don't fucking know.
I'm
let
just
let your
saying,
freak flag fly.
This is whatever. I don't know. It's hard to peg what they want from Magneto anymore. They apparently they just want the Master of Magnetism, low powered, but still going out there fighting the mutant
he's
fight.
Dark, edgy, but vulnerable.
Well, this is Magneto like first class.
He's
Magneto,
Magneto
hunting Nazis.
A la Punisher. There you go. He's Magneto a la Punisher.
Which is why I love him. Okay,
and not the good Punisher. The Punisher that wears a Hawkeye shirt.
Nothing wrong with wearing a Hawkeye shirt, okay? I'll get to that in a bit.
If Punisher ends up wearing a Magneto shirt, I'm going to laugh. Okay?
Well, I don't think Punisher gets... Anyways,
he needs to wear a shirt that says Magneto was right.
Cloning, final thoughts on Magneto number one.
It wasn't bad. It was interesting. So I'll give it a 3.6 Warriors out of 5.
Sucks that I'm the only one who actually loved it. I maybe my expectations were super low and it just impressed me.
Good day.
Who knows? Whatever. The funny thing is that I eventually have to pick up Sinestro number one next month to write for the GreenLanternCorps.com. It's written by the same guy who's doing this book, so I just find that really, really funny.
That end, I laugh at
you. Yeah, well, hey, if it's good, it's good. All right, let's move on to individual reviews, and I will be talking the Punisher number 3, yeah? Why do I go German all the time? Whatever, fuck it.
Because you have no idea what you want to do.
Go Hispanic. He's fighting the cartels.
So, I will say this right now. I like it when the Punisher interacts with crazier aspects of the Marvel Universe. I think it's fun. I think it's interesting. If I wanted to read about a Punisher who only tackles like legitimate real-life threats, I'll go read fucking Punisher Max and read the trades there. He's in the Marvel Universe. I'm choking because Punisher's choking me. Acknowledge he's in the Marvel Universe. I like that he's fighting Electro. And I like that Electro actually has a plan for Los Angeles along with the drug cartels. I like that. And I like that Punisher shows how this shows how he's smart. He's not an idiot. He's not just a guy who shoots things. He's a not tactical genius, but he knows how to handle himself on a battlefield. Still a little weirded out of how, you know, more witty he is. You know, this Punisher definitely has more personality than the Punisher's past, but I can roll with it. The only thing that really bothered me, though, and this is just my personal view on cops, and I don't think most cops, and I won't say all because I don't want to generalize, But that scene, did any of y'all read this issue? Or am I the only
one? I did.
Nope.
You did. The scene where the cop is like, thank God for the Punisher. And like,
yeah, that had to scratch in my head a little bit.
That was like, you know,
this is a guy who commits wholesale slaughter against criminals.
Like, you know, it's like, I understand, you know, maybe some cops would agree with him, but to hear an outright cop say that, you know, it's like,
it's like,
that was such an,
it's wrong.
Yeah. It's just wrong. Like, if it was a, like, it's, you're a cop, you're serve and protect, you should be wanting to go after this guy. Not, and I like the Punisher, but you know, his methods are, you know, what they are. So it just felt really odd for her to say something like that. Mm. You know, I mean, I understand escalation's going up and the Punisher can do things you can't do, but it just felt really odd for her to come out in public. Granted, it was in a cafe and not in a news conference, but like publicly support the Punisher. It's like, that just didn't feel right to me. That's just me, though.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, oh, that Punisher, he's so sexy, and he really knows how to take out bad guys.
No, she
well,
goes,
it was
baby.
She goes, thank God for the Punisher, huh? He saved my life there. I was trying to talk like a cop to some crooks who couldn't care less about was the chief of police. The laws, the old rules, Lou, they don't apply anymore. The Punisher has the right idea. He's getting results. And then she
kill them all.
And then she puts on the skull ring. He's going to inspire this, which means either A, she's going to go rogue or something. But it's considering her position.
Which reminds me, what happened to Rachel Cole Alves or what's her face?
Apparently, they're going to try to find a way to integrate in the series, but not anytime soon. So moving on.
all right.
Wait a minute. These are not this is not the woman you're looking for. So
yeah, no shit. I actually liked the last one.
So did I. But hey, give her time.
I know, I didn't read the series that much, and I liked her better than I liked this chick.
That chick's not a cop. Rachel Alice isn't a cop, so she could.
No, she was a Marine.
Yeah, exactly, which, fuck it, whatever. So Punisher goes on a one-man crew to take down the cartels. Hearing him say, hey, homies, is a little weird. But the last page ends with him being electrified by Electro, you know, but he's not going to kill him. He's going to take him to Mr. Del Sol. You know, this is another solid issue. I wasn't going to pick this up. I thought I was like, you know what? I'm switching to trade. Something made me pick up this series, inside of me. I don't know what it was. Maybe it was a Predator. I don't fucking know. but I still like this. I understand it's totally different than any Punisher story I read, but I kind of like that, to a degree. But, you know, who knows? I really like it when Punisher takes on the rest other aspects of the Marvel Universe. I don't want it to happen all the time, but hey, you're in the line of work, Frankson. You're gonna run into somebody powered every once in a while. Acknowledge that. Don't disacknowledge that. That's just stupid.
And if you're Frank, sometimes you kick its ass. So,
well, he didn't kick its ass. He just escaped. He got lucky.
Well, yeah, but not that time he did. But yeah. Remember when he punked all the Avengers?
That was awesome. He lost ultimately, but he outsmarted them. He punked them because they underestimated him. That was the only faulting.
Exactly.
So yeah, I give it a solid 3 out of 5. It was a very good issue. By the way, Brian, do you remember Paul Azaceta?
I'm sorry?
Do you remember the artist Paul Azaceta who did the Electro redesign like a couple years ago?
Oh yeah. I mean I
got the same, especially when Electro was on panels, like I thought it was the same guy for a while. Not
yeah,
like completely
right? It really stuck like the whole Power to the People arc, it really looked like it.
Yeah, it was like it's not like there's differences, but it's like this kind of reminds me of that, which is interesting. So there you go. I'll shut up. Let's go over to Brian with Taser actually with some
You're making me wait, son of a bitch.
Well, yeah. Well, you're the main event. Let's go to Taser with some drunk Patsy Hellcat with She-Hulk number 3. That bit was hilarious.
Drunk crime fighting, hell yeah.
I gotta say, this was actually a fun book. well, wait a minute, what am I doing again?
She-Hulk number 2?
All right, right. I thought he said She-Hulk number 3, and I'm like, hold on, do I have that issue? But no. moving on from continuing from the first issue where she basically quits, takes a job, encounters, you know, talks to Tony Stark's accountant, lawyer, and, you know, ends up, you know, winning money, getting a bonus check of $150,000. Woo! I'm rich. I don't know. You know, it just kind of occurred to me that, you know, this woman here should have quite a bit more saved up, you know, like liquid assets. But they actually addressed that in this issue. Well, the book starts off, she's in her office and she's looking over a case. And apparently, and I like this, State of North Dakota Court, County of Divide, George Sawitz plaintiff versus Doc Druid, Monica Rambeau, who was Captain, the second Captain Marvel, what the hell is this, Shocker, and Wyatt Wingfoot, and Jennifer Walters. Okay, she's got a lawsuit being brought up against her for, you know, some damages that have been done. And it's like, you know, she's thinking, I'm trying to get a new start on, you know, a solo business, and I'm hit with this thing. So the woman who, you know, the woman who owns the building that she's renting the office to, you know, she kind of introduces herself and offers to give her the walkthrough. And they have a nice little conversation, which was actually, the visual for it was really cool, because as she walks her down to reception room, excuse me, I was going a bit blank there. You find out that the woman who owned the building, she rented the building out to people with superpowers, you know, because she was an ex-mutant. She lost her powers during M-Day, and, you know, she had also had apparently gone to Xavier's Institute, but without her powers, well, she had an interesting epiphany that, you know, there's a lot of people out there who have abilities that don't have a lot of venues to turn to in regards to, you know, renting a place for business or whatever. Hey, you know, maybe this is something that, you know, I could kind of take advantage of. So that's where, you know, Jennifer, you know, has her office at. And as she's walking, you see that we've got people walking up walls, this one chick coming down on a freaking umbrella, this puck-looking guy going into this door that's maybe 3 feet tall, and another guy who's just kind of walking through the door. You know, it's actually a very awesome visual, you know. So she takes it to the reception room, and she sees, you know, four people who are there, you know, waiting to take the job as a paralegal working under Jennifer. And they're all like, yes, we're here, we're ready and eager, and this and that and whatever. So Jennifer goes to get herself a cup of coffee, and she comes back, and there's only one there. And it's this fat woman named Angie who, you know, is showing up, and she's there reading, you know, maybe it's a Chinese to English book or whatever, I'm not too sure. But she's the only one left. Apparently the others kind of went, holy shit, green chick, and they ran. Her conversation with Angie is very forthright. You know, Angie kind of says her piece, lets her know that she'll be coming in there, she's ready to start immediately, but she has a monkey with him called Hey Hey. And it's a rhesus monkey. I think he's a, you know, one of the Asian variants.
Why last man did first?
And his presence there is mandatory, non-negotiable. He's a, to quote, Hey Hey is a singularly impressive creature. And all you see is like this monkey with like this stare, you know, which kind of fits, what's his name, who draws this book?
Javier Pulido.
Javier Pulido. Yeah, that kind of fits this, because Javier, he has Jennifer doing a whole lot of stare, you know, like you're hypnotized or some crap like that. But whatever. So Jennifer goes, okay, fine. You know, as long as your, you know, your credentials check out, fine, you can start. So, you know, she goes and she takes her spot. She's like, oh, you mean today? Okay, is there anything to do? And, you know, Jennifer checks and there's nothing going on. But then she decides to call around town, you know, with their contacts that she's made over the years, I suppose. And she kind of keeps getting the rebuff from this one, that one, and the other one until she talks to somebody and you come to find out that her last office has been blacklisting her all over town, you know, talking about how she went crazy and there was this thing with the table, which if you remember last issue, yeah, we know what happened with the thing with the table, which means they're not lying, but you know what they're doing and it's, you know, still kind of fucked up, even though they were completely fucked up and trying to screw her over.
They were just trying to milk her for her superhero.
Yes, milking Jennifer Walters. I like that.
Taser.
Either way. What?
No. Nice.
Well, anyway.
Proceed.
So she gets tired of, you know, all of that, you know, bad news, and she decides to call it quits. So she ends up at a bar with Patsy Walker, you know, because she needed a, you know, night on the town. She needed to feel good. And Patrick was like, yes, I am all ready. I'm so glad you called. Woo, it's been a long time and all that other stuff.
It's cold up in Alaska.
Yeah.
It's cold in Alaska.
Does she have a husband named somebody?
Or man, she was married to Son of Satan for a hot minute.
That's funny. Okay, continue. Sorry.
But, you know, I remember the issue where they got married, and I remembered she fought her first husband who had, like, a dog motive, and she ended up kicking his ass. And I was actually disappointed when they ended up making them get a divorce, and it was over some shit that I think Damien was going through that, you know, he kept to himself, and, you know, she just wanted out or whatever the fuck. I was just disappointed because I like seeing marriages work. But anyway... apparently Patsy, you know, she needed something like this because her life hasn't been, you know, a whole, you know, bed of roses. And, I know Fearless is going to like this. Jennifer, are you sure that's a good idea? I mean, you've had just as much as I have, and you seem pretty sober. Gulp. If you're pretty sober, and so am I. Patsy, that's like drunk logic. I've got a pretty high tolerance, and I'm 3 times your size. Whatever. Size is everything.
Raise your hand if you've had that conversation.
No, hold on. Whatever. Size is everything. That's what last boyfriend always said. Face down.
God. Poor Patsy. I wanted a hug, Patsy.
Damn it, Patsy.
Go ahead.
And then she storms out going, whatever, I'm going. You can come if you want. Whatever.
And then you have to, and like every friend, fuck, I better go before she gets killed.
Yeah, exactly. That's basically what this is. So they get into costume, and okay, here we have, I'll say, classic She-Hulk sport outfit, because I kind of miss these, you know. Actually, I miss the Fantastic Four one, but yeah, the She-Hulk sport outfit, this works. This has a bit of a Kirby riff, too, you know, with lines and circles in certain places, but... Actually, I just realized where the circles were, and it's kind of funny.
Waka waka.
Yeah, you know, when you look at it, it's like, oh, okay, that kind of makes sense. So Patsy takes them to what looks like an abandoned warehouse. And, yeah, Patsy is clearly in the need to, you said we were going to do stuff, and my friends never support me. You don't support me. Leave me alone. And she, you know, pitches a fit. She, you know, takes and she makes her way into the building. She-Hulk bashes her way in, and they're looking for something, and they don't know what they're looking for. Well, Patsy knows, and she's not telling, but there's this one line from it, and it's just freaking hilarious. Patsy goes, I could have sworn, damn it. That guy was lying to me. Damn S.H.I.E.L.D. guy is the worst. They'll say anything to get in your, you know. But as we come to find out, apparently there's a couple of AIM guys there, and they're debating whether to take take on the two women.
This scene.
One guy's like, shut up. It's She-Hulk. The other one's Hellcat, no powers, but that one's She-Hulk. Let's just let him go. And the other guy's like, no, dude, I need to make my mark, man. This is how I do it. I got kids. I got to feed my children, man. You're a single dude. You don't know what it's like. Shut up. I'm going for it. You know
what I heard when as soon as he left was Leroy Jenkins.
You know what? Patsy, to her credit, takes the stealthy way in. It's She-Hulk who goes right in the freaking front door. And right on the other side is a bum who starts cursing at her. So, yeah, Jen does the Leroy Jenkins bit. But, you know, the S.H.I.E.L.D. agent, no, excuse me, not S.H.I.E.L.D., the AIM guy, he comes out in an AIM robot. And you know what? Javier Pulido needs to be smacked. But he goes retro with this robot. It has an AIM helmet head, you know, and an arm cannon that looks like it was made out of pipe and a claw. And then the feet looks like – the rest of it looks like a Superman robot from like the 19
– I like, you know, that it looked like an AIM soldier. I like that.
It doesn't look modern at all, and it's both funny and insulting. Because She-Hulk should be
fucking – it's fucking AIM. They're somewhat jokes.
That's also part of it. AIM would design something better than this thing, but whatever, you know, and –
they still wear beehive helmets for helmets. So, you know.
They're already a joke as far as I'm concerned.
Well, that's
they have their own nation, they have diplomatic immunity, but they're still a joke.
Yep.
Oh, it's like Cobra back in the, you know, 80s and 90s when they had Cobra.
Oh, I someone to shout, AIM!
Yeah, right. That would be an awesome cartoon anyway. So, you know, fight ensues.
Patsy Walker and the Drunk Avengers versus the AIM.
See, now, Drunk Patsy Walker and Avengers Assembled would make me watch that cartoon. Because you could have her compare drunkenness with Tony Stark. Awesome songs!
Oh!
Exactly. As I digressed, the fight ensues. She-Hulk's gut shot and, you know, Patsy, you know, tries to take out the robot suit by going out the, you know, ripping out its back panel or whatever. But she gets shocked, and, you know, Jen grabs the guy. But the other dude jumped in the other suit, and they've got her. And she's like, I'm sorry. They grabbed me while I, you know, and I'm just, yeah, this chick is drunk. So he tries to tell him to, look, let her go, else I'll snap her neck. We just want to get out of here. Blah, 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 blah. So to sum up, Patsy, Jen, and AIM, they fight the AIM guys. Jen manages to put the fear of God into one of them, ties them up. They start walking away, and Jen offers offers Patsy Walker a job, and Patsy's all like smiles.
She even has the cat eyes.
Yes, she did, exactly, which kind of helped, but she was smiling underneath anyway.
Yeah.
She's like, yes, thank you. So the next day she shows up at work. It's like 11 o'clock, and, you know, Angie with the monkeys there. She's like, boss, it's so late. You're not supposed to show up this late, blah, blah, blah. Jen reminds her that I'm the boss. I can do whatever I want. She's like, no, you've got a client. And last page she walks in, and it's Christophe Bernard. Anybody remember who he is?
The son of
Isn't
Victor
he
Von...
Son of Doom?
Yes. Who's now some, for whatever reason, he's an adult. You know? And
time magic.
Yeah, there's a lot of that over in New Avengers.
Okay. Yeah, what does that got to do with Fantastic Four, though?
Time magic.
Okay, whatever. Well, anyway, he's like adult Damian Wayne from Justice.
Oh, Jesus.
No, not Justice, so Kingdom Come. That's who he is right there, just kind of without the dark hair.
Shit, but, the only Damian Wayne I ever really liked. Ha! And I just pissed off everyone with the Batman.
He goes, you know, he bids her good morning. He introduces himself. and he wants to defect from Latveria. You will help me to obtain political asylum in the United States immediately. And she's kind of, yeah. See, now, I hope the next issue is her tossing him into a wall, you know, because that would kind of make me smile. But I enjoyed this book, you know, while the whole the normal life side of Jennifer Walters is kind of, and I don't really care about that. Her palling around with drunk Patsy Walker was effing hilarious. You know, Patsy Walker is somebody who gets ignored because, well, you know, she has a cat thing, but since we've got Tiger, we don't need her. And, you know, she's
forgettable. Furries.
What happened?
Tiger is specifically for the furry crowd. Patsy at least looks normal.
That's arguable. But I'll say this. If I had to choose between one or the other, I would take Tigra.
I go with Patsy. I don't like... I prefer. If she was human, sure. But she's not.
Look, she just had a kid.
She's not human.
Yeah, she's human enough to have a kid.
Yeah, not human enough for me.
Who's got human genes in them.
Whatever.
And looks human.
Her skin is furry. That's not normal.
That's okay. Yes. But anyway, it was a good book. It definitely picked up with her and drunk Patsy Walker. If they keep drunk Patsy Walker, I will probably stick around because, you know, she's just got that whole beaten puppy thing going on. You know, like, please help me do something with my life. Actually, it's kind of like a me, except drunk. Please help me do something with my life. So, and that was fun. So, I enjoyed this book. I'll give it a 4 warriors out of 5. It was ultimately it was a worthwhile story. I'm glad I read it. I had fun.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Somehow, fucking...
no, don't do it. Don't do it.
No, I'm not. No, don't. I'm not going to do it.
Bring it on. Bring it on.
No.
To quote the great referee Mills Lane, let's get it on. Moon Knight number one.
Ah! This, you sons of bitches. You chop off one head, two new ongoings grow in its place.
I knew fucking Moon Knight was the head of Hydra.
Moon Knight is back with a new number one, baby. Oh, yeah.
Pro tip,
illustrated by Declan Chalvet and colored Jordy Belair.
You know what's funny about this? Warren Ellis is in the same city I'm in right now, probably only a mile and a half away from me.
You should go thank him for this wonderful, wonderful gift.
Nope.
Okay, kids. So Moon Knight is back where he belongs in NYC, only he's not doing it like business as usual. The issue kicks off with a pretty, you know, relatively attractive looking girl sitting at her laptop drinking out of a mug that says Sad Blogger on it and contacting a paper about the supposed resurgence of Moon Knight in New York City. And apparently everyone knows that he's fucking crazy, because if you don't know by now, well, you know, you're kind of behind. That being said, what we get is a look at how Moon Knight is now doing things. He's rolling around the city in an autopilot-powered white stretch limousine in a white business suit with a mask on his face, and he's got his armory and his tech computers and stuff all in this one location. And as if that wasn't flagrant enough, the license plate is an abbreviation of his last name, Spectre. So... yeah, I think he's beyond done giving a fuck at this point. That being said, he rolls up on a crime scene where supposedly a slasher has hit and a man is dead, a young man has died. And he cross paths with a detective who the blogger states is put on the quote-unquote freak beat, Detective Flint, who, if you have ever read Moon Knight before in any capacity, he's sort of been a supporting character in the series. He's like, for lack of a better word, he's the Gordon to Moon Knight's Batman. But he's never always really agreed with Moon Knight. Never really agreed with how he does things. He's not a big fan of vigilantes in general, I should say. However, in this new take on Moon Knight, they appeared to have buried the hatchet as it were, because Moon Knight just strolls on up to a crime scene, and when the cops, the unis, decide to go, that's Moon Knight, we got to arrest him, Detective Flint goes, no, that's quote-unquote Mr. Knight, and he is a concerned citizen here looking into the issue for us. And the detectives are just kind of dropping their jaws, like, what the hell is going on here? Detective Flint working with Moon Knight, him getting access to a crime scene unhindered. And then Detective Flint comes back with, if that were Moon Knight, if you say that is Moon Knight, then I have to follow a very strict set of procedures, which are going to be time-consuming and distract us from not solving this murder.
Can I ask you something real quick? Did you read that as if he was Liam Neeson?
Yes, I couldn't help it. It was just so perfect. So, yeah, he pretty much agrees, for the betterment of everyone, for the good of just all involved, Moon Knight is going to have access to this crime scene. He's going to help us solve this crime. Now, Moon Knight quickly deduces that it is not, in fact, a slasher due to the setup of the crime scene, which is supposedly an ambush setup, and he persists that slashers are crimes of opportunity within a certain set area, and murders like this have been cropping up all over the city in various locations. They have been ambush points, and all the victims are have you ever seen that Planet Fitness commercial where I leave things up and put them down? That's pretty much what the resulting victim pool is. All these guys, they're professional trainers, hired muscle, security. They're big, muscly guys who take care of their bodies and, you know, make their bones off it, pretty much. So Moon Knight discovers that whoever is doing this is using the sewer system to navigate around the city and make getaways that, you know, he can't make a long getaway. He's figured that out because they've deduced with the footprints and stuff and the way the crime scene set up, this guy is limping or he's set up in some way where he can't make a long getaway, so he has to be quick about it. So after determining this guy's an ambush artist and he's also harvesting muscles and body parts and stuff from these people, because that's apparently another factor in this, Moon Knight dives into the sewer, and before he does, one cop turns to him and goes, you know, you realize you're diving into a New York City sewer line dressed in an all-white business suit, right? And he responds, yeah, well, I like him to see me coming. And so as he's climbing down the ladder, he goes, climbing down a ladder into a sewer, hey, that's crazy. And so what we get is a little bit of self-deprecating humor, self-awareness. And so we get into the sewer with Moon Knight, and he very quickly stumbles upon the culprit. A S.H.I.E.L.D. agent who has been grossly injured and horribly deformed due to an accident. He was written off as, you know, no longer in service to his country, no longer being used. And that kind of got to him. So what he's got is this sort of forgotten bunker / med lab under the city, a former S.H.I.E.L.D. Outpost, I guess, wherein he's been harvesting body parts from fit young men and implanting them into himself in an attempt to rebuild himself. He has the technology. No, he really doesn't. He comes up, he looks like a worse Frankencastle, if that's at all possible. What we get is sort of a protracted back and forth between the two. Moon Knight's trying to make sense of it all. He's like, why are you harvesting? These guys never did anything to you. Exactly, they didn't do anything. They didn't go to serve their country like I did. They didn't try to make a difference in the world like I did. They put their bodies to waste and to shame by building themselves up or just, you know, doing it for quick cash. They never really answered to a higher calling. And the whole time this is going on, Moon Knight's just playing into this guy's hand, letting him go on and on as this little diatribe, as your psycho killers are wont to do. And finally, Moon Knight gets to a point where he's like, okay, so you've admitted to all this. I'm going to have to put you down. And so the culprit goes, because he's never really given a name either, which I thought was kind of odd, but that's neither here nor there. He looks at him and goes, oh, yeah? You think you could stop me? Look at me. I'm made of the best parts of all the best guys who are you know, the most muscle bound guys, you know? And hey, your body looks to be in pretty good condition. Maybe you got something on you. So not your brain, because you're crazy. And so Moon Knight looks at him and goes, yeah, well, this fight is over. No, it's not. Yeah, it was. The fight was over 2 minutes ago. And points to a piece of tech holding him together with one of his little moon blades stuck in the side. The technology is short-circuited, and the guy goes down like just a bag of rocks. He's swept at the legs, punched in the face, and as he's going down, he pulls out a gun, shoots at Moon Knight, and Moon Knight stops the bullet with the flat side of one of his moon blades just super fast, like Ozymandias fast, and that kind of had me going like, oh, he can do that now? Oh, okay, sure. So, this guy's captured. I don't think he's dead, but he's certainly no longer an issue. And following that, we get kind of an interlude where we find out what happened to Moon Knight in between Los Angeles and coming back to New York City. And we get an image of Moon Knight sitting in a psychiatric hospital somewhere, being tended to by a doctor. He's come to this place to try and determine what exactly is wrong with him. Because, you know, after the whole incident in L.A. where he's, you know, fantasizing about Cap and Wolverine and Spider-Man all talking to him, he thinks now is the time to get a lid on this stuff. He thinks
So now's the time for him to seek help.
Yeah, oh, right? Okay. Yeah, now is the time for him to sort this out. Because he thinks he's pretty sure he's got dissociative identity disorder. Not just due to the hallucinations, but also the whole thing with the Stephen Grant persona and the Jake Lockley persona and stuff. But essentially what the doctor comes to him with is this. Listen, if you could get dissociative identity disorder by pretending to be someone else, there'd be a whole lot more psychopaths running around, is what she tells him. I don't think you've got dissociative identity disorder. I don't think you're crazy. Not the way you think you're crazy. And we slowly see, as this information pours out of her, the environment in which she's in begins to grow darker and more grotesque, more cartoonishly evil, almost like he's descending into a pit of madness, wherein she goes, I believe your mind is genuinely inhabited with the spirit of an ancient Egyptian god. And much like how Khonshu has multiple faces to determine his multiple personas, each time you inhabit a different personality, you're taking on an aspect of Khonshu and cycling through a vicious circle, as it were, of Khonshu's own wants and needs and desires and personalities. And this lady just goes full crazy on him and leaves him in such a shattered psychological state. It sort of abruptly cuts off there, and he winds up back at this dusty old manor and just sort of sits in this chair being watched by the specters of Jake Lockley and Stephen Grant. And Khonshu, of course, is sitting there right across from him, just sort of silently mocking him. And, you know, Moon Knight hangs his head. And the first issue ends there. And it's really strange to see it happen. Now, I read Bendis's full run. I read before that.
All read Bendis's full run, asshole. All did.
And then I went back and I read, I believe it was Charlie Huston's run, initially back around the time of Civil War. I read that, too. And suffice to say, and I read Vengeance of the Moon Knight, too. Suffice to say, I don't think his psychoses have ever been sufficiently confronted in this way before. Like I said, I could be wrong. I only go back so far as Civil War with the Moon Knight, but I don't think his storytelling has ever come to a point where they've directly confronted exactly what the fuck is wrong with Moon Knight. They just sort of let it exist and play with it and stuff. They never really delved into the cause of it or if he could get better. I mean, he's said he's gotten better. He's tried to get better before, but this sort of analysis of what exactly is in his head is striking. It's something new. And while we don't fully understand it at first, of course, there was no way you're ever going to fully understand Moon Knight's craziness in one issue, Warren Ellis does a very commendable job of introducing us to this new aspect where maybe he's not crazy. Maybe it's just the fact that he has this power and it's burdening him. It's crushing him. It's something he can't really cope with. And what he does is a coping mechanism in and of itself. And what we get is sort of an interesting sort of prelude to something to come, wherein we'll get more of that. We'll hopefully see more of it trying to we'll see Warren Ellis expanding that sort of issue. But also, in and of itself, the single issue wasn't bad. It was a very good introduction to the character, or reintroduction, I should say. It's definitely a different Moon Knight, a new Moon Knight. There's no Frenchie, there's no Stevens the butler, there's no Marlene yet. I don't know if any of these guys will be coming back. I don't think Warren Ellis would do that. I mean, maybe it's a bit bold in saying, but I honestly don't think they would retread territory like that, but I could be wrong. But I'm excited. I mean, the first issue was mind-bending, and the mystery itself was intriguing. I thought it had a decent amount of sort of pulpy, noir-type feel to it, where it's like, you know, he just kind of shows up to a crime scene and just sort of does his thing, and it's brazen, and it's new, and it's bold, and I like this Moon Knight. And now we've got these people who are keeping tabs on Moon Knight, like the blogger who's supposedly reporting for this paper, and Detective Flint, who's working with him now, giving him heads up on crimes and stuff. It's a really interesting take on the character. And people are always going to draw comparisons between Moon Knight and Batman, because, you know, Batman was there first, and Moon Knight's just really kind of a carbon copy, you know, give or take a few minor differences. But this is sort of, I don't want to say totally different. I mean, the cooperation with the police aspect is now there, but this in and of itself with the whole ancient Egyptian deity is definitely an intriguing take. And I will be sticking around until the bitter end, which of course we all know is going to come, because unfortunately, Moon Knight is Moon Knight. And there's really no getting around that. Not even with Warren Ellis on the writing duties. But he did a great job. Declan Chalvet did a great job. And I will be looking forward momentously to the second issue. So, shock of all shocks, 5 out of 5 Warriors for me. I loved it. That's just my 2 cents.
Oh, what? What? Moon Knight. Oh, what? Oh, yeah. That's the thing. Congratulations.
Fuck you. Fuck all of you.
No thanks.
You don't know me.
Not in the mood.
You don't know what I got.
I don't want to know what you got.
Captain Knight.
You know it's not taste.
So let's move on to our final topic. It was recently brought up that in an interview, Hugh Jackman basically states that him being the Wolverine, that recasting is inevitable. Leads us, who would you pick, or could you see anybody else playing the Wolverine as Hugh Jackman? This is how bad I am with actors, is why I don't enter those drafts when they pick actors, because I don't know who the fuck anybody is, except for some people. If Hugh Jackman decides to never play Wolverine again, I vote for no actor should ever try to play Wolverine again.
Oh, that's fucking bold of you to say.
You know what? And that's bold because I can't see anybody right now who captures what Jackman captures. In terms of Wolverine.
Fantastic abs.
That too. But I mean, he's the badass, but he has, you know, when they've shown it, he's a vulnerable character. He's versatile in terms of what he is. Only complaint is that he's not that great of a fighter, but whatever. That's just the director's choice. He probably has no control over that. But I cannot, out of all the actors right now, and it might be years from now before it happens, I cannot see anybody playing Wolverine as well as Hugh Jackman has played Wolverine over the course of the X-Men. From anybody right now, I cannot see that. Now, could it happen? Absolutely. Will it happen? Of course it's going to happen. I'm really willing to bet that X-Men Age of Apocalypse resets the X-Men universe in some fashion. So, yeah, but I can't see anybody playing the role as well as he did. I can't. You know, granted.
You saw him playing it well?
Yes.
Okay.
Go ahead and tell me why I'm wrong.
No. I don't know if I'd say he played it well, but I'm like you. I don't know of anybody that I could, that I know of that I think would fit the role. But I don't know. He did a good job, but I don't know. I guess hearing you say it just kind of made me go, really? You know, so I'm more questioning myself than your choice
like
of it.
He's
so.
Like, you know, like we've had Halle Berry play Storm. We've had James Marsden play Cyclops. You know, just like I can't see anybody play an older Professor X besides Patrick Stewart. Like,
because he's my first pick, damn it.
Well, he was everybody's first pick.
Fair enough. I don't know who. I really don't know who I could get to play him. Holy crap.
Because, like, for Wolverine, it's like, you could find it. I'm pretty sure you could find the guy to play Wolverine. Fuck it. I would just say Wolverine, kill Wolverine off and just bring in X-23 for more tits. Why not?
You know, except there would be an X-Men movie without tits.
Look, all I'm saying is that I think Jackman has left, at least personally for me, has left such an impression that he is Mr. Badass. He is the Wolverine. He is the best he is at what he does, and what he does is make shitty prequel movies. Oh, thank you. I worked so hard on that one. I'm sorry.
That was worth it.
Okay. But you know, I legit, even in that movie, there are aspects of him that I liked about. You know, granted, maybe it's because I just like Hugh Jackman overall, because I don't think there's a single Hugh Jackman movie I don't like. But I like his portrayal as Wolverine.
Van Helsing?
I like that movie. I legitimately like that movie.
Actually, Houdini? I kind of like Van Helsing, too.
Houdini?
Never seen that one. I have to watch it.
Okay.
But you mean the Prestige?
No, the magician one.
That's
Prestige, the Christopher Nolan.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah.
Okay,
I love that movie.
I love that movie Houdini, too,
wasn't it?
No, it was just about two rival magicians.
What the one? Okay,
there was a Houdini. Anyway.
It had David Bowie as Tesla. Okay.
So, but all I'm just gonna say it one last time. Right now, I cannot see any actor coming in to maybe. What's his face? Terminator guy. Not Christian Bale. Other guy.
Sam Water, whatever.
Yeah, maybe him. Out of all the guys I can think of off the top of my head who is not an old fart. like, he's the only one who I could see be that somewhat charming, rogue, badass guy that Wolverine is. But that's a stretch.
So another Australian.
Is he Australian?
He is. Yeah.
I didn't fucking know that.
Keeping it in the Aussie.
I do like the movie season as well. So, but even that's a stretch for me because I don't see it right away. At least right away, I have to like, well, cut your hair this way, put the claws here. You know, I'm like Lois Lane in Superman 2, drawing the marker on the paper. Like, huh? Like that. So, but yeah, if I had it my way, I would retire the role of Wolverine and say no actor will play this guy again. And just have X-23 and make it young female women all the time. That's fine. Because I love women, and I prefer to see more women.
I wouldn't have a problem with X-23. My only problem is if we're going to do X-23, to go on a small tangent, if we're going to do X-23, then she's got to go through the same level of crap that Wolverine did, which means she's got to get hit, okay? And as we all know in movies, we don't really like to hit women, okay? Now, there are some notable exceptions to that rule. Like, I just saw 300, Rise of the Empire, you know?
The sequel that nobody asked for.
It's not a sequel. I understand, but it's more like a, what the hell else was Grease doing, you know?
what the rest of Grease was doing at the time of this moment.
Or in comic book fashion, meanwhile.
I still prefer mine as the sequel. Well, in terms of movies, the sequel nobody asked for.
But No, if like Ava Green, she was in Casino Royale with
She's awesome in that
what
movie.
and what the hell was what's the Australian guy? Oh my fucking God.
Just
The
say,
dude who played 007, Peter Craig, thank you.
Daniel Craig. Daniel Craig. Daniel
Daniel
Craig.
Craig, right, Daniel Craig. All right, she was the woman that, you know, he ended up trying to
Absolutely.
save, even though it had to be, she betrayed everybody, she had a reason, da, 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 and she ended up dying and he was upset. She's the badass, and I mean badass woman in this movie. This woman would have given Kelly Hu as
Lady Deathstrike.
right. She'd have given her a fit. And the only reason why she would have won is because she's not, you know, she doesn't have a healing factor, and
Are we
that's
even
it.
talking about Wolverine anymore?
Yes, we are. What I'm saying is this. I would want them to do an X-23 with a woman as badass as Ava Green was in this movie. And trust me when I say that she was badass, we're talking a whole building full of ass and all of it bad. That's how badass this woman was in this movie. But we're really not going to get that because she's a hero, you know? And when I say Ava Green did a decent job of kind of getting down with the get down in regards to fighting, we won't see that because she'd be the, you know, lead character and whatever, and they just don't do that. You know, it would be watered down. And unfortunately, I'm kind of thinking back to like Elektra here. You know what I'm saying? And I mean, it's not that. That's what I think they'll do. Granted, it is no talk of it, and I have nothing to say that, yeah, clearly this is going to happen, but that's what I think they would do, and it would be a disappointment. You know, and I think that you and A-Train and everybody else who likes X-23, I think you would be, while some of you might just be happy that she's on screen, I think you'll be disappointed in how she gets treated. And that's, you know, really where I care. You know, it's not so much the fact that the character's there. It's what we get to see them do and how well they do it, you know? Which is why I give Hugh Jackman a lot of credit because even though, yeah, he's not short, yeah, he didn't wear the costume, yeah, the things came from in between his fingers instead of on top of the, you know, on top of the hand.
That's Singer's decision. That
But
wasn't his.
right, but none of that was his, and I understand that. He still managed to carry a good chunk of what Logan used to be, you know? And that's important, you know? And he was able to sell it. And that's what I liked. The fact that they made him so PW'd for Jean Grey. And you know, I'm like, really? Really? But you
Genie,
know,
genie.
really? Did they really have to make it that bad?
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they fucking did.
But okay, fine. You know, whatever. I still think, yeah, he did a bang up job, but I wouldn't retire the character because he's not playing it anymore. I think they would just have to do an honest and sincere job of finding a real legitimate replacement. And I don't know if I would do what Hollywood tends to do, and that's try to go with, you know, a known actor. You know, I don't know if I would do that.
No, not for Wolverine.
I think they might be better off finding, like, Hugh Jackman, as far as I was concerned. Finding somebody who you'd never heard of.
You know
Well,
what's funny
before
is,
that, before X-Men, he was, I think his most notable thing was Kate and Leopold, which,
you know what's funny is that
Yeah, exactly.
even you know what's funny about when you say that is that even with the Wolverine that came out last year and we did a podcast on it, you should go check that out. When he's Wolverine, I don't think that's Hugh Jackman. I think that's fucking Wolverine out there kicking ass.
No, I don't do that. I still see Hugh Jackman, but it's Hugh Jackman
When he's in Real Steel, then I'm like, that's fucking Hugh Jackman. Get the fuck off my TV. I like Real Steel. I like that movie, but I'm just saying, he just basically just fucking himself. Minus the Australian accent. Okay. I'm like, whatever. I love Hugh Jackman. That's all that matters.
Yes, that's kind of apparent. But, you know, I can say the same thing for Robert Downey Jr. And Robert Downey Jr. has almost grown up with me. We're talking Back to School, Less Than Zero, freaking Weird Science.
Wow, you brought out Back to School.
Yeah.
Like fucking Dangerfield.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You can't not bring up Dangerfield.
I still want them to do fucking Hugh Jackman's Wolverine versus Tony RDJ's Iron Man in a movie together. I fucking want to watch that.
That would be nice. That would.
The two. I mean, let's face it. Those two characters, in terms of comic trails, are the most, like, when people think of them, that's what they think because they've done them so well. Especially in the case of RDJ.
Yeah, because every fucking X-Men movie has to have fucking Wolverine in it, and there's no fucking exceptions.
Well, he is the best.
The best.
It's okay. I'll give you
a second. Is at what he does, and what he does is takes the spotlight from Cyclops. Fuck you, Scott Summers.
Now,
you could turn that flow phrasiasm into any kind of joke for any kind of situation. It's awesome.
Anywho, I do not share your opinion, Ben. And Taser, I don't think you mentioned if you would want to, like, who you would want to replace him with, if you did.
See, that's the thing, and that's what I was trying to get at. I would look for somebody who would be both physically capable and also shared some physical characteristics. Granted that, yeah, we're going to fuck with the hair, and yeah, we're going to make him 5 o'clock shadow and whatever, and make him look rough and whatever. But I personally would find somebody who's got maybe some MMA skills so I can start tweaking those fights to look nice and brutal. Exactly. That's
right.
What I'm
thinking. Okay, fair enough.
But I cannot, off the top of my head, think of anybody that would fit that bill. I would really have to kind of sit back and look at people that I've seen over the course of a couple of years or something to point out, yeah, I think this guy, yeah, that guy. I would really have to do that. I can't do that right now. So I guess I can't say I can do it, you know, in regards to picking somebody. Not right now.
Okay. I have exactly one pick in mind for such a scenario.
Don Cheadle.
If you fucking say the guy from Supernatural, I'm going to kick your ass.
You thought I was going to say Jensen Ackles?
Yes, because you fucking
I was no. thinking the other one. I was thinking the younger brother.
No, Jared I'd actually pick more as a Cyclops type, but that's neither here nor there. No, it's either
those.
That's
actually not bad.
Yeah, see? That's what I'm saying.
Well, James Marsden sucked it up, so why the fuck not?
Anyway, just bear with me here for a second. I don't know if you guys are going to know who this is when I say it. If you do, bear with me, okay? My one pick for replacing Wolverine, if they had to go that route, is Christian Kane.
Who the fuck is that?
Okay, if you've ever seen... Now, stay with me on this.
Okay.
If you ever seen the TV show Angel, Joss Whedon series, he's Lindsay McDonald on that series.
Are you kidding me?
Now, stay with me here. If you've ever seen the show Leverage on TNT, he's Elliot Spencer.
Yeah.
Now, if you ever see him play that role, that is the perfect fit. It is basically just Wolverine without the mutant claws and the healing factor. I swear to you, if you ever go and see Leverage, he will convince you, just as he convinced me, it is the perfect role, and he is the perfect fit to ever play Wolverine if they ever decide to recast the role. He's not that big a name. He mostly sticks to television roles, and he also has a music thing going on, so of course he wears the cowboy hat, obviously. But let me tell you, if you ever see him play his role to perfection, it is Wolverine. I am telling you that.
Oh, I see him as Gambit.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Nah.
I think
Gambit. Nah, dude. He's Wolverine, I'm telling you.
Okay, all right. But I can see why you would pick Wolverine. Okay, I can do that because
have you ever seen Leverage? A bit of
Leverage? Yes, I have seen Leverage. Cool. And he's kind of that whole, get over it, you know. Yeah, I like that.
Ben, I don't know if you've ever seen Leverage, but it's on Netflix, all the five
only,
seasons.
The only show I watched on TNT was Southland.
You've never seen it? Did you at least watch Angel?
Here's why.
You've never watched Angel.
Here's where I'm a superior. I have never, ever seen a TV show produced by Joss Whedon.
Okay, fine. Leverage is not produced by Joss Whedon, though.
And what did I say what did I say about TNT? I've only
okay, I've ever... fine. It's on Netflix. It's a good, like, if you ever just want to see what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Seriously?
All right.
Check him out.
All right.
But yeah, he is my one pick to replace Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, should they ever go about it. Because in my head, in my perfect little world, given his past experiences, he is the perfect man to fill the shoes.
But he looks young, though. That's kind of the problem. He looks young.
He's almost 40. I mean,
I know, but he looks young.
They could
scruff him up a little bit, you know.
It's movie magic. Look what they did to Brad Pitt in that one movie.
Which movie are we talking about?
Benjamin Button, I think. Yeah. Or
okay. I know of it. Didn't see it, but my point is this though. Yeah, scruffing up makes him look gruffer. Doesn't make him look older. And I'll be perfectly honest. I like the older look for Wolverine in this, because
okay, that's fair. That's
you
fair.
Know. Well, and look at who we're talking about. We're talking about a guy who's at this point over 100 years old. You know, he doesn't look like he's in his late 20s.
No, he hasn't aged that much, but he's weathered.
Yeah, well, no, not even that. He doesn't look like he's like Chris Evans. Chris Evans is what, mid-30s in real life? Looks like he's in his
20s.
Young mid-20s.
He should be my age.
A little bit older. A little bit older.
I'm 24. I'm right there.
Exactly, but you don't look like Chris Evans. You look
no. Bit... If I look at Chris Evans, I wouldn't fucking be here right now.
Yes, you'd be the newest Antonio Banderas, looking for his
Okay, here's
or Javier Bardem.
Bold choice. Bold choice. Antonio Banderas is the new Wolverine. Boom. Problem solved.
You're high.
No, he'd be awesome.
You're freaking high.
It's time for a Latino Wolverine because diversity for the win.
He's Canadian.
I'm going for my Don Cheadle Wolverine, damn it.
He's Canadian, for God's sake.
He is not Canadian. Stop saying lies.
Yes, he is.
Nope.
He is.
Nope. He's Mexican.
He was born in Canada.
Nope, he's Mexican.
He was born in the Northwest Territories, you son of a bitch.
Nope, Mexican.
You poor, stupid son of a bitch. Listen,
his last name is Banderas.
It's a peener, huh?
It's Owlet, you moron. No, okay, compromise. He can play Sunspot. We'll get
Okay, are we done? Are we done? We're done.
Yeah, I'm all done.
By the way, that guy kind of does look like Wolverine in the Ultimate Universe a little bit, especially the second picture you showed. He kind of does look like Wolverine a little bit.
It's all a matter of perspective. Like Jason said, maybe he doesn't
exist. He even has a belt buckle.
Ooh, the belt buckle makes all the difference.
Yeah, well, I'm from Texas. It does make it fucking
look, just let me live in my perfect little world, okay?
So Leverage. Leverage,
he's
huh?
never going to get the role, but let me live in my perfect little world where Lindsay McDonald is Wolverine, okay? I'm just going to stay there now.
All right. We're done. Are we done? We're done.
I think we're done. I think we're finally off double secret probation now so we can go home.
Yes. Be sure, please, plugging time. Visit my blog, www.marvelousiggy.wordpress.com, where Mondays, Scoreboard Mondays, Long Box Tuesdays, Level Select Thursdays, every Wednesday, go to thegreenlanterncore.com for a new issue of Green Lantern Corps. And also starting this month, and you can go check it out right now because it just went live, I have officially started reviewing the Earth 2 series for thegreenlantercore.com. So, yes, if you're interested in reading my thoughts on that, please go check that out as well. GreenLanterCorps.com. And also, while you're at it, go to the forum that all of us met each other for the first time. The green and just click the forum button right in there, and you'll be into the most wonderful community of hateful ringslingers I've ever fucking seen in my life. So
also, you can get in contact with Iggy via Peter Parker at Twitter.com or whatever that was.
My official Twitter is Twitter.com/MarvelousIggy. The show's Twitter is Twitter.com.
That's the important one.
Yeah. Well, I'm an ego son of a bitch. Have I not been over this? The show's Twitter is Twitter.com/Warriors3PCast.
And look us up on Facebook, too, because I post lots of fun stuff.
Yeah, he does.
Yay.
Yeah, he does. Actually,
we post fun things.
And on Tumblr, he blocks porn, so, you know, there's that.
Oh, yeah, well, see, that's why I don't talk about it too much, because it's the good shit.
We should create a Tumblr for the Warriors 3. We should. Somebody should.
I would manage the shit out of that.
You're in charge. You're new. You're not.
Because he lives on Tumblr.
Does he? I have yet to convert to Tumblr.
Dude, if you ever subscribe to me or follow me on there, your phone will be going off every 5 seconds with a vibration for me reblogging.
I'll just turn off notifications.
This is a man who lives on his phone. He has no life.
Well, I have no life.
Well, we are doing a podcast about comics together. Bazinga. Ladies and gentlemen, that'll conclude episode 159. We will see y'all, brothers, for episode number one.
With Gamera John next week, unless his van also goes ka-chunk, ka-chunk, die.
Yeah, his van lost the wheel and the Joker got away, so.
Oh!
Not even Christmas anymore. It's March. Oh, my God, it's March. We'll see y'all for next week for episode 160. Bye-bye,
more
everybody.
More Gamera John, more Gamera time.
Good night, everybody. Christian gave her Wolverine.
Come on, come on, come on.
It's such a sweet sensation. Feel it. It's such a sweet sensation.
Feel the vibration.
It's such a good vibration. It's such a sweet sensation. It's such a good vibration. It's such a sweet sensation.
Hold on. Time out. I'd just like to say this. 2007, Tony Hawk's Proving Ground, released on Xbox 360, PlayStation 2, PlayStation 3, Nintendo Wii, and Nintendo DS. And that wasn't the last one out.
That doesn't... Okay, just because of game, he's still making games...
No, they dropped a new Pro Skater just last year.
Yeah, for mobile
devices. Yeah, so to say that he's not relevant...
He's not nearly as relevant as he was in 1997.
But he's not... He may not be as new and fresh, but to say... If the
he's
games
an old
keep making
man
money...
Now.
If the
look,
games
you think
keep making money,
who do
he's
you think
relevant.
Of?
Bam Margera?
Why do you think of Bam Margera? He's barely a skateboarder as much as he is. He's a drunk dumbass.
Because I watched Jackass. Isn't he dead?
Hold on. Bam Margera had sex with his girlfriend and left it on the game. So you had to do a certain trick to access the footage. But yes, it was Bam Margera giving his girlfriend a cowgirl.
Wow.
He nice. Gives me, I give him credit for that.
All right.
That's
well,
all kinds of classy.
Let's just,
yes.
Let's just get her.
Because she had a nice ass, too.
let's go ahead and start this. What is 159?
I don't know. I'm not your mother.
God.
Yeah, I think it is 159.